All right, folks, we're live from the ACC. We experienced a little bit of technical difficulties in getting going, but that enabled me to get here in time for the start of the show, I guess. So, Jack Armstrong, just finished speaking with you on the radio about 30, 45 minutes ago. Appreciate your time on the Fan 590. We're here live at fan590.com, and my broadcast partner here on the Fan as well, Paul Jones, broadcasting live from Raptors Media Day.
You know, my conspiracy theory says that you rigged this so you could get down here in time. just me and, cool. You know, I've known you for what, like 14, 15 years now, Jack? You've known.
Jonesy, you and I were sitting here at noon sharp
ready to go.
Eric, I agree with you.
Now, it didn't work, and now he's here. Boom, it worked.
Now that he has his own show, it's like, you know, he has to be front and center all the time, so we had to wait till he got here.
Not first face because we're radio, but first voice, right?
Well, I talked to Greg Lowe, our engineer, and I said, just make sure that you keep those gremlins in the system until I arrive. And as soon as I arrive, just make sure there's a pizza dog ready for me. And make sure that all the bells and whistles are ready to go. So, folks, we are live here from Raptors Media Day at the ACC. We're kind of in Tent City here in the atrium outside the main gate here at the ACC.
I counted while we were waiting. Looking at, like, each tile here, ceramic tile, is a foot and a half by a foot and a half.
Oh, so you counted each tile.
Yeah, so we're on about, like, a 15, 20-square-foot area.
Yeah, this is about the size of my first condo. So I feel quite at home right now in this little makeshift tent city getup that we have here at the ACC, and we haven't missed out on any of the guests yet
at this point
because they've been waiting on us to get things rolling. So we will have a number of players and coaches, members of the front office, joining us over the course of the next couple of hours, and we'll be here at fan590.com as long as there's anybody to talk to, and as long as you keep us tuned in here on the web.
Well, the good thing is because you were late. There's some young ladies walking by with food. It's like being at your wedding, or like Jack's wedding.
Yeah.
You know when the hors d'oeuvres are walking around.
Right.
Jack and I have already experienced a couple of cheeseburger sliders.
So can I put the microphone down to actually
have some
of the food?
No, no,
oh, really?
Oh, look at this. They bring her in for Jack.
Real sports.
Wow, very nice.
You want one?
Yeah,
one?
I'll have one. Yeah, sure,
Jack,
why not? Sure,
this is what happens when you get your own show, right?
You know, get a little napkin right now. Thank you very much.
You get a beautiful girl bringing you the burgers.
We had to go looking for the food, but Mr. I Have My Own Show gets the food brought to him.
Exactly. I know
I appreciate it. You guys want
Greg Lowe is having a burger, too.
Oh, I hook up my man Greg, so
there you
why
go.
Not?
For
Thank
the gremlin
you
issue.
Thank you. So you guys got to carry it for a second, though, so I can take a bite.
I was going to say, let's hope the gremlins aren't in the works for the Raptors this year. I heard you guys coming in talking about, you know, a lot of expectations from the fans, which are very low. And, Jack, you and I talked about this. We talked about it, the three of us, when we were golfing last week, the fact that, Jack, you mentioned about Roy Halladay. I'm going to go back to the year that Brian Colangelo came to the Raptors. He turned the whole team over. There were 8-9 new players. Nobody knew what to expect. Somebody told me the over-under was about 34 and they ended up winning 47 that year. So I just think you just never know.
And by the way, we're joined by a special guest. Should we call him Papa?
Papa, new father, Jose Calderon.
Papa Chio, right?
Papa, yes.
Hello, guys. Young man Manuel. Is on scholarship right now because all he does is sleep and use the bathroom, right?
Kind of. Well, the bathroom, I don't know if he used the bathroom.
Well, he used the bathroom wherever he wants to, right?
No, everything is great. 4 months now, so great.
So Jose Calderon joining us, of course, folks, here live from the ACC at fan590.com. And Jose, aside from personally speaking, and of course we all sent out our congratulations as the fans did over the course of the summer. Professionally speaking, how did the summer go for you? And I know it was obviously a bit of a setback with the injury that kept you out of the lineup for Spain, but how is that if this camp is about to begin?
Well, it was nothing like other years or something like that. I didn't want to risk be ready for training camp, so I'll be practicing tomorrow with the team with no problem at all. So the only thing, it was too close to the walls, and maybe I needed like a week or 10 days to recover. So it was like a risk too much. Okay, so that's why I didn't fly to Istanbul with my team.
When you look at this season, obviously for yourself and coming off last season, and what did you try to focus on this offseason for yourself in terms of preparing yourself coming into this year in terms of a component of your game or strength, conditioning? What were the things, what were your themes going into the offseason?
A little bit everything. I think it was bad and it was more my head than everything else. You know, I think I was thinking too much in all the things going around. I wasn't 100%. I couldn't play the defense I wanted to. My game in offense neither, because I was too many things on my head. So the team wasn't playing good, and sometimes I think too much about the team, like why. So I was too worried about a lot of stuff, you know. So just I want to be back to be Jose Calderon, enjoying playing basketball and be the guy a couple of years ago. Like I said, bad season, so I want to be back and enjoying playing. That's all. I couldn't enjoy last year.
Jose, with the events that went down this summer, I mean, a trade, you're not traded, you're back. I know you talked to Brian. You probably had a chance, as you said, in your head, because that affected your season last year. How did you kind of settle that and make sure that you're ready to go now?
Well, you know, last season what happened was we got a lot of expectation, and we couldn't do it. And so you try to think about too much sometimes to help the team. And I couldn't help, you know, for whatever reason. So this year, same thing with the trade. I'm just, you know, that it's been like that for 6 years. This is my sixth, so, and I know it can happen every day. Mm-hmm. You got to be professional. I'm happy to be in Toronto. I got my house, my friends here, and I want to win again with this organization. And you never know. Now we're talking like I'm here. You never know what happened. You got to be professional. But I'm really happy to be part of this team, and I think we got a new beginning. I think we can be a much better team, you know, and that's what
you
say,
and you say team with Chris Gunn, it means everybody has to do more.
Exactly. I think everybody can be important or more important and give a step forward. We are young people with a lot of talent. And I think sometimes it's better to have five guys with 12 points than maybe one with 35, you know. So that's the way we got to see.
And you're the guy that facilitates a lot of times those other guys getting chances to maybe have a little bit more going on. What are you going to try to do this year as a point guard now without a guy like Chris Bosh? How will your game change in terms of having guys that maybe it's a little more of a balanced lineup? How do you approach it every day?
Well, I think it's going to be easier for me sometimes because a lot of time we got to play plays for Ido, for Chris Bosh, and everybody was kind of like, okay, we got to run this for these guys. They got to get involved. They got to keep going, you know. I think now we're going to think about it. We got to just play, run the plays the coach wants us to play, and get everybody involved more than ever. So with nobody to give the ball every play, I think it's easier for everybody to get into the rhythm, to score, to pass the ball, share the ball. And I think it's not just me. I think everybody can do that because this season the ball got to go to everybody.
We're speaking with Jose Calderon here on the Fan 590, fan590.com. And Jose, you mentioned the sort of turnover in the roster with obviously Bosh and Hito gone and it being about more of a team now. You're the longest-serving Raptor at this point. And I know you and I spoke earlier in the summer about that very fact and sort of the captaincy role as well and taking, you know, even more of that leadership-type role. How important will that be this year, whether it's guys like you and Jarrett, maybe Barbosa coming over from a winning program in Phoenix, and just the experience that you guys can lend as leaders on this team for what is otherwise a relatively young core?
Well, I think right now the only thing we can show them is, like, you got to be professional, practice every day as hard as possible, you know, and play every game like it was a final, you know. We don't have the team looking one game go 100% and the next game no. Like, we got to go 100% every night, you know, and we can surprise a lot of people, but we got to work. And that's all. So I'm going to try to do that, and I'm going to try to help everybody who need my help. I'm going to be there for sure. Like I say, I want just to win, or at least give everything on the court. If somebody beats you, you know, okay, you shake his hand and we see you next time. But we got to give everything on the court. And that's the thing I think maybe we didn't have last year. That's why it was too many things. So this year we got to play, enjoying playing basketball, give everything out there. We're going to surprise people for sure.
Oh, Jose, and that's the thing. And a lot of people, the fans, you know, Jack and Eric were taking calls the last hour. The expectations, you talked about how high they were last year. They've been, well, in some people's eyes, lowered a bit. You guys still expect the same from yourself. Talk to me a little bit about the chemistry, because guys have gone. As Eric said, you're the longest-serving guy. And I know the couple of years ago you made the playoffs, and the year before that a division title. The chemistry was very close. Yeah. Guys coming into town beforehand. How's it been in the preseason with guys getting here, arriving, and kind of getting to know each other?
I think it's great. You know, and I think it's one of the key. We can have the best basketball players in the world, but if they don't get along with each other, we're not gonna win. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's all. Like, we are a team. That's what I'm saying. I think we can be a better team this year. That's all. We're gonna win. I don't know if we're gonna win more games, but we're gonna show a different face out there, a different in everything. You know, and I think We can be a good team, really good team. We got the talent and the athleticism to do it.
Jose, much has been made when you look at the fact that both you and Jarrett Jack are capable of playing significant minutes at the point guard spot. Is it something that you have to feel you have to play a certain number of minutes to get yourself into the flow? But more importantly, can you guys play together? And if you can, how does that work itself out? You have before, but going into the season, what's your viewpoint on kind of you and Jarrett Jack in terms of how that's going to evolve as a point guard?
Well, it's more Jace answering that situation, you know. But for me and for him, like, we coexist last year. There is no problem with that. I think this year even more, the team maybe need us even more. Like you say, there are young people out there, so we got to be the first one to say, okay, we're going to play this way, or we're going to do it the way we wanted to do it. So I think Jarrett and me, we got to do that. Just show them, like, how to do it. And doesn't matter, like, who play more or less. We got to do it every night, you know. And I think the good thing is we're different, you know. I'm a different kind of player like him, and I think that's good for the team. We can have two speeds. We can have two different views of basketball. I think that's good. You don't want to have only one point guard or two same kind of pointers, mm-hmm. you know. So we got to, you know, have that as a good thing for our team. And that's all, like. No problem if we're going to play together or no. I'm not sure about that yet. In pre-training camp, we'll start figuring out everything, you know. But feel good, and I don't know. We'll see how everything goes on.
Jose, good to see you back in the city. Appreciate the time, and look forward to another year and hopefully bigger and better things to come. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Jose. There's Jose Calderon of the Toronto Raptors, and we appreciate his time. We'll have a lot of time to talk to Jose in the coming days and weeks as well throughout training camp, as training camp officially gets underway tomorrow for the Raptors here in Toronto, just for a couple of days, and then the team jets off to Vancouver for the better part of a week, with the first preseason game just over a week away.
You know, Jonesy, you mentioned Jose being the longest-serving Raptor now, and I think back to when Rob Babcock brought him over here, and you know, Jose, that first year looked like he was overwhelmed at times.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's come a long way, and now expectations for him are higher than they ever were. You know, and he had that breakout few years. And he's got the, you know, long-term contract now, and he's an established pro. And I think he's got a lot to prove this year. And I could just sense that, just sitting here chatting with him for a few minutes, that there's a underlying feeling that he's being maybe sold a little bit short,
yeah.
Whether it be because the team tried to trade him, maybe the fan base and in general, you know, that some of his talents, particularly from a defensive perspective, have been questioned, and some of it rightfully so, some of it unjust. But I sense a guy that looks as if he's got some motivation coming into this year.
Jack, and listening to you and Eric too, I, you know, if there's a marketing slogan for the team this year, maybe it should be something like, okay, we'll see. Because everybody seems to be lowering the expectations, although as we were talking with Jose, the team hasn't lowered their expectations. And, you know, I heard people calling you and saying, well, why are we aiming for the 6th, 7th, 8th playoff spot? Why aren't we aiming for the top? And I always go back to
I would
Jack,
love to aim for the top, but it's reality, too.
Yeah, and Jack, you used the phrase, and it's so – and I've heard it from coaches that I've played for, and I heard it as a young assistant with big-time coaches, the walk – what is it?
The creep, crawl, walk, run.
And it takes a little bit at a time. And before you get to one – you got to go through 6, 7, or 8. And people say to me, what's it going to be? And we've talked about this. We don't have a feel for it right now. But every year the Raptors seem to fall somewhere between 7 and 12. Sometimes closer to 12, sometimes closer to 6 or 7. And I think they're going to be in that same boat this year.
You know, maybe it's the reverse psychology as well. How many times in recent years have we gone into the season with higher expectations only to unfortunately be let down? A lot of people may be going in with lower expectations this year.
Yep.
Maybe you've got an opportunity to be surprised.
There's been two moments when that's happened. The 2001-2002 season, when they brought in Akeem to complement what they'd already done that previous year when
right.
they went to the Eastern Conference semifinals and lost to Philadelphia. That was one. And then last year was the other, where, you know, you have Chris Bosh in a final year of his deal, and you bring in Turkoglu, and you made some other adjustments, and you felt like that team could do it. And both those teams disappointed mightily. At least the one, you know, made the playoffs, but they were only 42-40 and had to win 11 of their final 12 to get there. And then the Chris Childs decisions in Detroit, we won't relive those. But the bottom line is, I think when you look at the reaction now, is there something to build from? And hopefully they're able to do that.
Eric Smith, Paul Jones, Jack Armstrong here on the Fan 590 exclusive on fan590.com. We apologize again for the technical difficulties that we had off the top of the show, but we're here, and we're here as long as we can be, and as long as they'll have us until they kick us out of this building. And then at that point, we maybe wander across the street to the real sports bar for a post-game beverage. But speaking of which, have you been in the new bar yet? Have you had a chance? I believe all three of us were there on the opening night. But have you been since then, or have
no,
you had
I
a chance
haven't.
To partake?
I have.
I've partaked a few nights. Yeah. I kind of live close by. So it is a fantastic, fantastic facility. And I would imagine it will be the hub for a lot of pre- and post-game parties and gatherings for fans this season. In fact, Jonesy, you and I will be broadcasting from that area close to the bar during our post-game shows this coming season.
So fans will be – it'll be actually interactive. Fans will be able to join you guys a little bit for the post-game festivities. I like that.
Yeah, you know, nice. And we'll be close to the new store as well. We'll be, you know, close to all the action here at the ACC as we are set to be joined by Andrea Bargnani, who's now stepping up to the mic as well. Andrea, good to see you after a long summer as well. And I was saying to Jack a little bit earlier, I don't know about you, as long as it was a long summer, it flew by. I think because there was so much going on in the league and then with the World Championships as well, these 4 or 5 months zoomed by. What about for you?
First of all, it's good to be back in Toronto. And yeah, the summer was passed by very quickly, especially for me, because I played in the national team a couple of months, had the basketball camp, so it was a pretty busy summer. So,
and can I just quickly say as well, is this a step down for you having to hang out with us as opposed to supermodels climbing all over you? And, you know?
See, Eric was the first one to bring that up. We were thinking it. He actually said
don't
it.
Don't worry. It's okay. I don't forget where I'm coming from.
That's a positive problem, believe me, Andrea. We all wish we had that.
Andrea, tell us about the summer, though. What kinds of things did you work on? I mean, knowing the fact that with Chris gone, mm-hmm. and people have made this kind of comment, I think unfairly of you at times, that while you're not doing what a number one pick had, well, you had a guy in front of you that was pretty good, mm-hmm. and while people will say now this is your team, I know you have to earn some of that, but what kinds of things did you work on over the summer in preparation for the season?
Well, I was with the national team, like I say, 2 months, and I was the main guy there, so I think that helped me a lot to learn a lot of stuff coming to this new NBA season, because I was used to see double teams every game. I always had to take the ball at the end of the games, mm-hmm. so that helped me a lot also, because I always played with my back to the basket. I always played inside the paint, so I think that was great for me.
You know, I think you've improved each year with your back to the basket. You know, is that something you really made a point of emphasis this offseason, to try to get more comfortable, mm-hmm. get deeper position, and improve your footwork and your moves? Is that something that's been a big part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I love to play with my back to the basket. I didn't know much about it when I came in the league, because I never did that. Because I was used to play small forward, always outside the three-point line. So it was something new at the time, but now I really like it. Looking forward to keeping getting better.
You know, I talked to Jay on Friday, had him on the radio, and one of the things he said in regards to you specifically, he said defensively he's a 5, offensively he's a 4. Nobody ever talks about that component of your game, though, Andrea. How do you feel you've progressed defensively? Because I think we saw some, you know, strides forward in a big-time way last year in terms of how you use your body and guard some of those bigger bodies around the league at the 5.
Yeah, you know, playing 5 and playing with Chris, I had to learn that, to guard the bigger guys, to guard the center of the other team, because, you know, Chris was playing at the 4. So I keep getting better at that, but, you know, yeah, my natural position is the big forward, power forward, of course. It's not center. Everybody can see that.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, you talked about the double teams, and I that caught my ear when you said that, facing them and seeing them, because it's something that when you're the guy that's getting the ball, you're going to have a lot of that. What kinds of things did you see in the summer that maybe you didn't see as often in the NBA because you weren't double teamed as much? What kinds of things that were you looking out for? Hey, it's coming from here. They wait till I bounce it. What kinds of things did you see in terms of learning it and figuring it out?
I think the main things you learn is to take your time. You know, when you take the ball, you just wait like 3, 4, 5 seconds. Just look around, see what it looks like. Then start to dribble and see what happens. You know, if the double team comes, you make the first pass to the first guy that is open. Otherwise, you got to be very aggressive and try to attack the basketball.
Andre, when you look at last season and you had the opportunity to go home and think about what happened, what was the one thing you said, you know, I really got better last year at that, and then you look and say, this is the thing I got to get better at this year coming up. What would those two things be?
Like you said before, maybe the things I was much better last year was playing with my back to the basket, and that's what I got to keep doing and try to be more, more focused every game, try to be more aggressive every game. I was too much inconsistent. Also, the numbers were there, but I was up and down with my number, so I got to try to be, more the same every night.
How do you do that?
I think it's just focus. It's just concentration. It's nothing to do with your body, with your technique, with your, basketball talent. It's just be focused and, be there when the game starts.
When we were talking to Jose a couple minutes ago, he was saying, without Chris and even a guy like Hito and knowing that he struggled last year, it was still trying to run sets for them and to make sure they got the ball and to run plays for them. How much do you think this year it is just about a balanced attack where, it's more of that team concept? It's not just one guy. It's maybe not always just running plays for you. It's everybody's going to have to get involved.
Well, yeah, for sure. Everybody's going to get involved. And I don't know. We're going to start the training camp tomorrow. So I don't know how the play is going to look like. And we'll see.
How much are you looking forward to it, Andrea? Training camp starting tomorrow. Everything's different. For the first time that you've been here, there's no Chris. And not that he's in your way, but there's more room for you now. There are more expectations on you. How much are you looking forward to that?
Oh, I can't wait to start this season. I think it's very exciting. Everybody, there is a lot of excitement in the locker room. So I really look forward to play this season, yeah.
Well, Andre, best of luck this year and hopefully
thank
bigger
you.
Better things to come. Thanks
all
for
right.
this.
Thanks, Andre.
Andre Bargnani of the Toronto Raptors. And again, we'll be talking with him quite a bit in the coming days and weeks leading up to camp tomorrow and in Vancouver. And again, the first preseason game just over a week away. And it is just flying by. And we've got the regular season, right upon us. And actually, we've got another
new personnel.
Come on. Give us 30 seconds,
come
man.
On.
Come on.
New personnel all over the place.
Step inside here for a second.
We got
come
players
on.
That have changed, and I'm feeling much safer right now with the new director of security, former Metro policeman John Attilia joining us. Johnny?
Welcome back to a new season.
I feel very safe. I'm going to be okay on the road. You'll be looking after me.
You know what? You're one of the worst to take care of the road. That's why they brought the strong guy out.
I thought it was for Eric.
Well, I do need it sometimes.
just in the airports.
Because I got that small man syndrome sometimes. You get a few liquid beverage in you. And you
there
get
you
that,
go. It
you
gets
know,
tough.
Get a little lippy sometimes. So I got to have Jonesy and the Sharp Bubbles take care of me. But folks actually do know that, and I wrote about this a couple weeks ago. It's funny, John, and you'll
– John's a big fan of 590. Listen.
Yeah. Yes.
And yes,
John
we are.
Will,
yes,
John
we are.
Will quickly appreciate that as much as you might not think so. There's going to be a lot of fans that know who you are and know what you do, because when I mentioned that Willis Richardson moved on, people are like, hey, what happened to Willis, the team security guy? People know. Fans know every little detail about this team. So, John, you will be a known guy for the fan base as well, and Willis moving on to different things. But I'm just hoping that you have those same kind of FBI stories that Willis liked to tell 18 times over and over again.
No, I won't be that bad. But it was a great transition for me and to bring my experience from the league over and bring it towards the team side of it. It's going to be interesting, and it's an exciting time for me in the transition and having the background I had and to move on now. It's a great opportunity.
John, we see this in sports now, with so many different things going on in the NFL, where teams and leagues try to be proactive. What would you say when you look from a Toronto perspective or even an NBA perspective, the big point of emphasis is with just players in general as public figures?
Well, it's two-sided. It's the players' safety, of course, from the general ongoings day-to-day, but also to educate and to be proactive in regards to be hand-in-hand with the league and also with player development with Mark Eversley. So, and now with the new member.
Alvin Williams.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So we've already spoke this morning, and it's going to be an exciting time for us to work together and bring the team forward.
Well, John, all the jokes aside, Jack's actually the one you have to take care of the most on the road.
Well, yes, I mean, we do have a history with Jack. And
well, you know, the other thing, too, is Johnny being the golfer, if I'm able to sneak my clubs on the plane, I can say John said it's okay.
We can try that. As long as I have mine, I'll slip your three clubs in.
So there you go, folks. John, again, congrats on the game.
John Attilia, the team's director of security.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
John Attilia. And you'll be hearing from John. I'm going to get him on a few pregame shows this year as
well.
Tell
his Toronto stories.
He's got some Toronto stories, I'm sure.
That might be. I hope that is on recorded somewhere, because that might be the last time he calls us gentlemen.
That's true. That is true, too. I don't know if John will be able to keep up with the War and Peace stories from Willis Richardson. So hopefully John can fill in and do so as well. But so I see, folks, it's just not changes in the playing side, changes in security as well. A lot of changes going on with the organization. And Jonesy, you kind of addressed this briefly as well, but you mentioned how you heard Jack and I speaking this morning about not knowing what to expect. What do you expect? Because you are one of the guys. Jack and I came in basically what, year three, roughly? Year
1998.
Four. Yeah, so you've been a lifer.
You've been
though,
here
day
since,
one.
This is my 13th year. This is your 16th
you,
year.
You, Doug Smith, and Ray Chow, I think, the
yeah,
lifers.
Yeah. So, and Leo Rouse.
I apologize, Leo. I know you're listening right now at fan590.com.
You know what? I'm not sure what to expect, and I kind of fall in line with you guys. I mean, in the early years, they were an expansion team. You knew that there were going to be struggles, and I mean, to look at 21-61 in the first year and see it as, wow, that's a real accomplishment, and then 30-52 in the second year, and people, the timetable was accelerated. I don't know what to expect this year, and as I said to both of you, I think the attitude is, okay, let's see, and I think that's a player's attitude. We heard it from Andrea. We heard it from Jose. I think we're going to hear it from all the other guys. And you know, people can't get this wrong. It's not that all of a sudden Chris Bosch is gone, so this is going to get better. Hold on a minute here. It just means things are different. Not necessarily, you know, worse, but different. They have the potential to be better because now you've got more team involved. And we've heard the guys talking about it. So until the team kind of finds its own level and starts to form and morph, I'm not sure what to expect, but I always see the glasses half full instead of half empty, the eternal optimist in me, and I think this team is going to do better than people give them credit for. And like the Blue Jays, if they get off to a quick start, I think they're going to surprise people.
Amir Johnson now joining us here, and Amir is one of those guys that was a change in the offseason, a change in terms of a bigger contract and likely a bigger role to come with this Raptors team. And Amir, congrats on the deal. We know we talked to you earlier in the summer. Just leading into camp, with camp officially kicking off tomorrow, what about you? You just heard what Paul was saying towards the tail end there. What about the expectations and the opportunity to maybe surprise some people? Because you've probably heard and seen some of the skeptics right now, what they're saying about this club. What do you feel, your gut feeling about this team right now?
I think it's going to be an interesting season. You know, I mean, we have a very young team, and I think we're going to be very up and down the court. I know we don't have to rely on one player of scoring, you know, 20 and 30 points tonight. You know, it's pretty much up for grabs, and I think it's going to be just a team together. Once you hear our name, it's not going to be Chris Bosch and the Toronto Raptors. It's going to be, you know, the Toronto Raptors. So,
Amir, you were on a team like that in Detroit where it was team. I mean, each guy had a role. Each guy did it well. And the team, I mean, the team took down a Laker team with Shaq and Kobe. I mean, the team was the focus. Do you get that same feeling from these guys this year?
Absolutely. You know, the thing about in Detroit, we were a good team, but our defense was definitely there. We were a good defensive team, and that's what brought our offense, you know. I think this year we're really going to have to stress our defense, and we got a great new defense coordinator, which is P.J. Brown, and I think if we work on our defense, you know, our offense will come, and we're definitely an offensive scoring team too.
You know, you mentioned the defense, and, you know, I think back to your Detroit teams, and you mentioned before about the ability to run and get out and play that way, and as you well know, you got to pay the price on the defensive end in terms of creating turnovers and blocking shots and rebounding and getting stops. Can this team do that? Can you? And you're going to have a bigger role. Can this team?
I believe so, man. We really got to work on that. That's what I told the coaches, and I think we really have to stress out our defense and really focus on that because, you know, we are a young team and we definitely can get down the floor as quick as ever. So we really just kind of have to work on our offense or our defense and really stress that.
You know, Amir, I think all three of us kind of get tired of even bringing up this subject. It's been 15-plus years for all of us here with the team, but it seems like there's always talk about Toronto and people, whether they want to come to Toronto, whether it's an issue coming to Toronto. And I, again, I think we're all tired of it. But I look at this summer, and you, Sonny, DeMar, Jarrett, coming back to the city regularly. I mean, how much was that just about loving the city? How much of the boat was connecting with the fan base? How much of that was just trying to be together in one spot? I mean, because we've never seen that, whether it be from elite players in the past or whether it be from role players. We've never seen guys spend more time in Toronto in the offseason than what you guys did this summer.
For me, honestly, I don't know why guys don't like it here because I really love it here, man. We have a great base of fans, man. The fans are awesome out here. You know, they love us, and you know, so we love them. And I like the city out here. I don't know what more to say. But it's great out here for me. And I know I love coming out here. People usually say the weather's bad, but it's not bad at all. You know what I mean? I've been in it. I lived out in Detroit for 4 years, so it's not even worse than that. So, no, for me, I love it out here. What more can I say?
Amir, you think back to when you came out of high school. Uh-huh. And went to the Detroit Pistons and your experience there. And now you have an opportunity to have a stable playing situation from a standpoint of contract and kind of knowing your future a little bit. When you look at where you were and where you are right now, where do you want to get to next? Like, what kind of player do you want to be this year and in the years to come? I mean, you know you're just scratching the surface. What kind of guy do you want to be for the Toronto Raptors this year?
Well, I definitely feel a lot more comfortable. You know, I'm definitely feel settled, and I know I'm not going anywhere at all. So, you know, I feel comfortable in my game, and hopefully I can improve and hopefully get to that All-Star status. And it'll be great if I can make the All-Star team this year because it's in L.A. and I'll be playing in my home city. So I do have a couple goals this year. You know, it's probably the average, like at least a double-double and get on the All-Star team. And another one is to dunk on Shaq.
The big leprechaun. Yes. Amir, let's...
That's what they call him now, the big...
That's what we're calling
among
him.
Among many.
The big
the green giant,
the
either
green.
Way.
Okay.
Amir, let's talk about your development, though. As Jack talked about it, you know, you came in out of high school. Last year, the thing that Eric and I saw most on the radio was your ability to step out and all of a sudden make that 12 to 15 footer, because I got to tell you, Amir, I'll be honest with you, at the beginning of the year, you would tee that up. I'm like, no, Amir, don't take that. And it would go down. All of a sudden, it started to go down more consistently, and you're developing more weapons. What kinds of things did you work on this summer?
Well, definitely, I worked on my jump shot. A lot of people don't know. I can shoot, but I get kind of hesitant because I'm so wide open, and I get kind of nervous to shoot that shot. But As I played more throughout the end of the season, you know, man, I definitely got comfortable of taking that shot, you know, and as I get more playing time, I believe I can really knock down that shot when I'm open. So I really been stressing my jump shot. You know, English came down to L.A., and he worked with me for a couple weeks, and I've been working with him after practice every day, working that turnaround jump shot. So I'm definitely going to add that to my offensive game and really prove I can shoot.
Amir, talk to me about the defensive end too. Jack had talked about how you got a rebound and you talked about the defense helping to create opportunities on offense. Talk to me about just the focus chemistry wise defense. Eric talked about it. You've been hanging out with Sonny and DeMar and Jarrett. How do you guys pull that together?
It's all about talking, man. If we stay constantly talking on the court, you know, yelling at each other, telling each other where our man is and talking to each other, it'll definitely help because we talk all the time off the court. So why not just, you know, talk on the court? So if we talk and help each other out, you know, and helps our defense, I think we definitely improve there.
Amir, the most important question of all, how's the big-ass truck doing?
Well, it's fine. I'm pretty sure I done pissed a couple people off, you know, in the street, just cutting them off. And I'm sorry if you've seen the big-ass truck around, but, you know what I mean?
With the new contract, there might be two or three of those.
I love the big-ass truck.
Yeah, we got to get a ride home in that thing.
I love that thing. That thing booms, man.
I know. Anytime you want to ride, you know, I'm willing.
There you go.
Last one before you go, Amir. Maybe my eyes are deceiving me. Did you bulk up in the summertime a little bit?
I did. I gained – like 10 pounds.
So you and Eric go to the same gym?
Yeah, clearly. I mean, clearly.
Nah, I've been. That's all I've been doing is working on my strength.
So is Eric.
I don't think I'm going to the same gym as him.
Not at the same time anyway,
no,
right?
No,
we got to cross paths one of these days. I mean, what I'm lifting. But, yeah, you can tell you put some weight on, no doubt about it. So
I try to gain a little bit of weight because I know I'm going to be pounding down there. You know, but I'm still quick on my feet, though. So
that's what counts.
That's a plus.
Well, Amir, we appreciate the time here today, and best of luck in the coming season.
Thank you very much.
There's Amir Johnson of the Toronto Raptors again here on the Fan 590 and fan590.com, and appreciate his time. And, you know, he will be taking more of a pounding this year, Jack, and a greater role, a bigger role with this team, and he'll, you know, be having to keep up with the big boys on a nightly basis.
You know, he's a guy that I think the fact that he got a chance to play with some good veterans – you know, they say, you know, how you come in the league is how you do in the league. The environment you break in with and the professionalism, how demanding an environment it is. I think the Detroit situation for Amir in terms of his professional development was a real positive one. He's a polished guy in terms of when you sit and chat with him. He's an engaging, friendly person. I think he's willing to pay the price and sacrifice. Yes, he does have some offensive limitations. He's hopeful to average a double-double. We'll see how that goes. But you can't knock the fact that this is a guy night in, night out. It's going to pay the price defensively. He's going to rebound for you. He's going to try to change shots at the rim. And he's going to play with great enthusiasm and intensity. So I think he's a guy you root for, and he's got his feet on the ground.
And Jack, I think reflection's a big part of improvement, as always. I mean, in our business, in any business, and Amir now, having been in the league 5-6 years, he starts to look back at his experience in Detroit, and now it means more. He starts to pull from it years later, and you heard him talk about the team and him going to the coaches and saying, look, it's got to start with our defense. Why? As you said, he saw that when he came into the league. He understands now that's what makes you successful. So for him to, you know, step forward in a leadership capacity in that sense and go to the coaches and talk to them about it and then talk about, well, yeah, we got to communicate on the court. And as a, you know, the guy who's at the back line, Jack, Eric, he's the guy that is a traffic cop back there. And if Amir is willing to do that and at the other end use his speed to get up the floor, and if nothing else, it forces the other big guy to run. He may not get the ball, but it forces people to run back. And just little things like that are, I think, keys in helping the team get things that they want.
I do like the fact that he referred to P.J. Colissimo as P.J. Brown.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll know Coach Colissimo's name by tomorrow morning's practice, because P.J. will make sure of it.
Let me ask you, Jack, you and I touched on this a little bit earlier on the radio. There's some rumblings out there about the Raptors and potential interest in free agent center Eric Dampier. Let's just assume for a second that doesn't get done, that Dampier isn't coming to Toronto. And the Raptors are what they are right now. Jay Triano on Friday told me the only starter that he believes in his mind right now that is locked in is Andrea Bargnani. He said the other four positions are up for grabs. Knowing that we haven't even touched the floor yet for training camp, you haven't seen anybody in any scrimmage action, let alone exhibition action, I'm going to ask both of you, can you kind of peg your starting five for me? And I mean, a guy like an Amir Johnson, if Andrea is technically your five, is Amir going to be your four? Does Klaza end up getting in there? Could Klaza play the three with Amir at the four? You know, Weems versus DeRozan, Jack versus Calderon. Does Barbosa start or come off the bench as a six-man type role? I mean, there are a lot of different permutations and combinations. What do you think, Jack?
I like the fact of going small. I'm a big fan of it, and I think if you can be mobile and skilled and get up and down the court and you can get some defensive presence from that four spot with a guy like Klaza, I think it's an intriguing dynamic for you. So, and then obviously you mentioned the battles that are going to take place, so it'll all shake itself out during the preseason. It should be a lot of fun.
And we'll get Jones your take on that in a couple of minutes' time here as well, as we're pleased to welcome into the conversation Ed Davis. And Ed, first off the bat, how are you feeling and how is rehab going at this point on that right knee?
It's going well. I mean, started to ride a bike, so I'm gradually getting into the rehab process and really just getting a full go.
Got to be obviously frustrating for you for such a freak accident to happen, but maybe for folks that didn't hear the story, I mean, this was just in a pickup game in the local area in Toronto, out in Mississauga, and just kind of landed awkwardly, or how did it happen?
it was just, I just made the wrong cut, and I just heard a clicking noise, and so that was it.
Ed, tell me about the timetable. I mean, you know, we're hearing, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. Are you a fast healer? When we think about the injury that you came back from in Carolina, we say this is, well, maybe I shouldn't speak for the other two, but I say this as an old man. As a young guy, you sometimes heal quicker and a little bit more resilient. You tell us about the timetable, and as Eric said, how are you feeling? What are you ahead? Are you, do you think you'll be back before the allotted time? What are your thoughts on it?
I said the injury is going to take 6 weeks. I wouldn't say that I'm ahead. I wouldn't say I'm behind. I think I'm right at the pace where I think, or a little bit ahead. So I'm not behind or anything. It's not getting affected or anything. It didn't swell up bad. So I think I'm right where the doctors expect me to be and where I think I should be at.
And the sun shines out now. Let's think about when you're healthy. What are you going to bring to the Toronto Raptors this year? What do you know as a rookie you can come in and do to help this team win?
Right. I mean, just be an energy guy. Someone who can just come in, rebound, block shots, run the floor, score points, and just be a big energy guy.
Is that something that, when you think back to last year, just being a fan of the game, you're at North Carolina, you're watching games, I'm sure you see some of the Raptor games.
Right.
Is that something that you pegged as, that's something they have that I can add to, or that's something that they need and I can kind of elevate that portion?
I just think any team in the NBA, every coach and every, I guess, the fans always want and need an energy guy. Someone who can just, you know what I'm saying, just get the team going when, because it's a long season. I mean, every night guys are not going to be as pumped for some games. So if you just have a guy that can just bring energy every night, I mean, it can get everyone going.
Ed, what did you learn in the summer league? That seemed to be a process where you got better as the games, as the time went along. What did you learn in summer league that you think you'd be able to? I mean, it's not the same kind of guys. There was no LeBron out there. There wasn't a Dwayne Wade. There wasn't a Shaq. But what did you learn at summer league that you think you can bring to the season and help you find your way through your first year?
I mean, just how you have to take care of your body, because I think we might have played maybe like 4 games in 6 days or something like that, and how you get so sore and you just get so tired, and just really just eat right, get the proper amount of sleep, and just the small things.
Stuff that your dad used to tell you, right?
Right.
And when you look at the pro game, you know, growing up, and give me a name or two of players that you try to kind of model your game after, if those guys exist.
Growing up when I was young, probably Kevin Garnett. And then the older I got, I really don't like Chris Bosh game because he's a lefty, 6'10", da-da-da. But, I mean, just really guys that are in my position who I could really, like, see myself turn into one day.
Is there anything so far in the first few months here that's surprised you as a rookie in the NBA? Maybe surprised you in a positive way? One of the things for me, just looking from the outside, is I don't know if I, as a young player coming into the game, would have expected some of the guys to take me under their wing right away, much like Sonny and DeMar and Amir, and the fact that you guys were hanging out as well. Like, we talked to Amir about that a few minutes ago, about how those guys just hung out a lot together, and you were involved in that in a lot of those off-season workouts. I don't know if I would have expected that as a rookie, and I don't know if that's maybe something, or if there's something else that sort of caught your eye and surprised you, even in a positive way as a rookie.
Right. Yeah, I mean, sort of like you're saying, how this, like, everyone, like puts their ego aside, and everyone, I mean, it's just always have like a hand out for you if you ever need anything. Like, I can call anybody on the team anytime during the night and ask them a question, or just small things like Jerry Jack coming over to my house one day and we playing Madden together. So just those small things like that.
Your experience in North Carolina, I mean, there are so many great players that have come out of the program, and obviously the summer league games in Chapel Hill, summertime pickup games in Chapel Hill. What about that program has helped you prepare for a moment like this?
I mean, just I'll say, like, in the off season, the pickup games and how it was just some days it was 12 NBA players there, and how like every time you're playing with 3-4 NBA players at one time, and just learning from them and just picking up things from them.
We appreciate the time, Ed, man. We appreciate it, and hopefully, you know,
you want to introduce your teammate coming into us?
Yeah, we got Julian Wright from Kansas coming up.
Hey, you know, we had to have that, you know, Carolina guy talking about a
Kansas. He's not actually from Kansas. He went to school at Kansas.
Right. That's what they said. They said college, right?
There you go.
I didn't come out of high school.
So, Julian, appreciate your time here, and just your initial reaction, you know, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the deal went down, but finding out that that you were becoming a member of the Raptors. And I like the fact that on Twitter you changed the name to Dino Wright as well. I thought that was pretty creative.
I just try to be witty like that, you know. Former team, the Hornets, I was Juju B. So, you know, just try to make it build around my name. You know, it's good for fan interaction. You know, just trying to just stay hip and upbeat.
What about, though, this team specifically and joining this team for you? And I would assume maybe an opportunity to maybe play a little bit more, a fresh start even. I mean, mm-hmm. How did you kind of take it mentally?
The first start, you know, I'm definitely optimistic about the opportunity to, you know, come to a franchise, a lot of younger athletes that, you know, and players that are just trying to, you know, find a way, you know, and I'm that type of player that's, you know, being a first-round draft pick and having a lot of expectations for myself, you know, wouldn't have liked this to be any other type of situation than this.
You know, when you look at yourself as a player the first few years as a pro, and now you go into a new situation, you got a chance to establish yourself. I've always been a big believer that is, if you try to do more than three things, you get kind of confused. Mm-hmm. Give me the three things. If I sat and watched you practice, or I'm sitting in the stands watching you play a game, give me the three things you're going to bring to the table every day that I know I can count on from mm-hmm. you every day.
Three's a good number, you know. It feels like six or seven sometimes.
Like, well, give me three and I'll be happy.
Right. For one, defense, I'm active. You know, you're going to hear me talking. You're going to hear me in the passing lanes. You know, I put that as one. You know, I try to get hustle plays. I think I have high energy plays, a block or a steal or even a good rebound that leads to a fast break. I want to be counted on for that. Offensively, I say a good thing I've been able to do is crash the glass and cut. You know, I'm very, you know, I see it back as my opposing player's head, I'm cutting. I'm just trying to be active. And I run the floor, you know, getting easy buckets. You know, any team needs good buckets, getting out on a fast break. And like I said, with the personnel that I've seen and I've played with even in our pickup games, it's been great to see how we were able to run out. And so I just want to try to mess with the guys and, you know, get easy buckets, run the floor.
Julian, you said a first-round pick 3 years in. Mm-hmm. It's got to be frustrating for you in a way that you haven't been able to kind of bust out more. You see opportunity here in Toronto. How do you take advantage of that, though?
Well, I just look at it as it's a day-to-day thing. You know, they're going to learn. They're going to try to, you know, I'm going to feel out what the organization needs out of me. And then, they, you know, with me giving my all in practice, they'll be able to communicate to me and let me know what's needed of me. I think, like I said, those three things that I said, I think those are things that should be constant every night. That gives you a chance to earn minutes. You know,
you got to be excited about that too,
right? You know, and this definitely opportunity, and you know, to earn minutes and play with guys that are definitely hungry. And I didn't know much about the organization, but you know, even just talking to the guys, you know, they had a very promising, you know, they had a really good summer league. They're promising into the season, you know, guys stepping up. So I look at this as a whole opportunity for me to come in and just try to mesh and not try to overdo it, you know, because you know this is a new situation.
Nice.
I want to switch gears completely for a second. Back to New Orleans. What was it like the last year or so, the last couple of years especially, mm-hmm. and obviously everything post-Katrina, just trying to get the community back to mm-hmm. mentally to where they need to be, let alone, you know, the infrastructure and the buildings and everything else. But then the last year with the success off the court but on the field for the Saints and mm-hmm. the Super Bowl run, just as a person, let alone as a sports fan, what was it like to kind of be wrapped up into all that? I'm sure you wish it would have been a run for the Hornets as
right.
well, but just to see what the Saints were doing and how the community kind of rallied around them that much more.
Well, I'll keep it on the court for one more second.
Sure.
I was able to experience some of that following in the sense with my rookie year was the first year that the Hornets came from mm-hmm. Oklahoma City. And for us to have a really good playoff run there, one game from making to Western Conference Finals, it showed that, you know, it gives the fans something to cheer about, something. It was a good transition from, and that was only 2 years after Hurricane Katrina. But so I was able to experience a little bit as a player and see what we could do in, you know, in the community throughout that year. Obviously, we didn't have as great years the other 2 years, but I guess the Saints, you know, took the ball and they ran with that. And just to see the fans and see people out there, they really rallied behind the community and just tried to. There's a lot of unison out there, unity, shall I say. And that was just good to be a part of and notice. And I think that's what you want to, you know, when anyone does their job, they want to, whatever it is, they want to know that it's mutually appreciated, mm-hmm. you know, and I think the Saints players also appreciate that as well. And obviously it was appreciated by the fans, so it was good to be out there and see that.
Back to your game. The thing I hear a lot about you, and I've seen you play when you're in college and now mm-hmm. the first 3 years in the NBA, he's got potential. He's got potential. Mm-hmm. He's got potential. But there's the old line, you don't want to get identified too much with potential. You want to be identified with productivity. Mm-hmm. You're at that line now.
Right.
How do you cross it?
It's an open-ended question. And the only way I can say that is I feel like, I would like to earn my minutes in a sense. Because, you know, nothing's ever been given to me throughout, from high school mm-hmm. to college to now. You know, I feel much better when I feel like I'm playing minutes that I've earned. Doesn't mean they're given to me necessarily, but, you know, when you earn, say, 20 minutes a game or something like that, it means much more, you know, in a sense. And not to say some players have minutes, but, you know, it's just some things didn't add up for me in a sense. But that's why I look at this opportunity as a way I feel like I can really earn minutes starting tomorrow in training camp and build on something. And, you know, my minutes have been up and down, so obviously my productivity has been up and down as well. So if I can find a way to put it all together and earn steady minutes, I think then that's when you'll see production.
Julian, really appreciate the time and best of luck this season. Good chatting with you.
Thank you all.
Appreciate it.
All the best. Appreciate it. We have the Brazilian sensation, Leandro Barbosa, coming up.
There he is. There it is.
There we go. So we've started a new. Yeah, apparently. That's the way it's going now. Everybody's starting to introduce each other. Leandro, good to see you.
Good to see you.
And Jack Armstrong, Eric Smith, Paul Jones with you, Fan 590, fan590.com. And from one new face to another. And, Leandro, what about the deal that went down? And you know, we haven't had a chance to speak to you since the trade, but did it come as a surprise to you? And how are you kind of mentally preparing for this fresh start here with the Toronto Raptors?
It was a surprise, definitely. I didn't know that I was coming to Toronto, but I knew that I was going to get traded. You know, I wasn't happy in Phoenix, and I talked to Sarver, you know, that I wanted to look for another opportunity. And he gave me the option. Finally, I'm here. I'm very happy. I know many guys here, especially Brian Colangelo. We worked together for a couple of years. I know he's a really good guy and business guy. So I'm here. I'm very happy, excited to start the season, and hopefully we do well.
What opportunity were you looking for here, Leandro? You talked about you weren't that happy in Phoenix. You were looking for a new opportunity. What opportunity does Toronto give you that you couldn't get in Phoenix?
Well, I think my minutes can go a little bit up, you know, that was in Phoenix. I'm going to try to help the team as much as I can, you know, try to run up and down. I think this is what I do best. And the most important thing that I want to in here is win games. And I'm sure we can do this, and it's on us.
How are you feeling right now physically? I mean, you had some challenges last year from an injury perspective, and how are you doing from a physical standpoint and getting ready for the season?
Right now, I'm feeling great. You know, I'm not gonna tell you that I'm in shape, because we finished the World Championship and then I stopped for a little rest. But I feel great. You know, I'm ready to go, no matter what, and. Just preparing myself right now.
What about the Worlds? You needle coach Triano say, hey, look, we should have had you in that game. Brazil, that was the one game said people said the USA kind of slipped, but you guys really took it to them.
Yeah, it was, you know, sad game for us, you know, that we knew that we could have beat them. And at the end of the game, they beat us, you know. It's okay, it's all right, but it was really important for us, that game. You know, it turned really big in Brazil mm-hmm. after that game. So, they got scared. I will say that. They got scared.
Leandro, when you look at this team, we were talking to Jose Calderon about this a little bit earlier. Relatively young team overall. Few veterans, you know, in terms of guys that the youngsters can lean on. How much do you think that you'll have to play that role as well? Especially, you know, coming from one of the great leaders in the game in Steve Nash, maybe things you've picked up from him and that leadership role you can bring now to a new club and to guys that might be looking to you for, you know, that guidance and to lead by example.
Well, I don't know if I'm a leader or if I can be a leader, but whatever I have to do to help this team, I will do it. You know, like you said, me and Calderon, we talk a lot about that. You know, I think the most important thing for this team is the chemistry. I learned that a lot, in Phoenix. I think my best years in Phoenix was when we had a good chemistry, union. No one was selfish, and I think that is really good. So if we have this here, we can do really well.
You know, you mentioned your relationship with Brian Colangelo, and obviously Brian's been here for a while. He was the guy that brought you to Phoenix. What are the things that you look at from him from a leadership perspective that coming in here now that he's talked to you about with Toronto that he expects from you to bring to this team this year?
Well, Brian and I, we didn't have opportunity to talk about especially the question you asking me, but he definitely know what I can do for this team, you know, and I definitely know too. I can score, and but I don't know if my role is going to be like that in this team. But whatever I have to do, it don't matter what position I have to play, I will do my best 110%. And if I play 2 minutes, I will play 2 minutes to try to play 3 minutes, you know. But I'm not worrying about that. I just want to try to help the team.
Leandro, you talked about chemistry in Phoenix. What did you learn about it and putting it together? And how do you bring that here to Toronto? Because you talked about how important it is.
I learned that when you have a chemistry and the team are really together, things happen easy. You know, it's not hard for things happening. You know, I'm saying the victory. Mm-hmm. You know, I mm-hmm. think that comes easy without you doing a lot of work. When things is not there, then is when you start frustrating. You know, you lose your patience and that comes really, really hard to things happen for you. So I think that was the most thing that I learned in Phoenix. I talk a lot with Steve. Stevie will teach me a lot of good things and that I can pass for this team. So we'll see what I can do to help.
Based on everything you've said about chemistry and doing whatever it will take to help the team, make the team better, I assume I know what the answer is going to be here, but I'm going to ask the question anyways. What role do you foresee yourself playing in terms of position-wise? Some say, hey, he's a guy that likes to handle the ball and likes to make decisions. He's got more of that guard mentality. Others, hey, play off the ball. He likes to shoot, break a guy down, use his speed. I mean, if you were to envision where you see yourself playing, is it the one?
Do.
Is it the two? Is it both? Is it?
I do both. I go both.
I like
for sure.
It.
Definitely.
I got to ask you an Eastern Conference question. Amari Stoudemire, a guy who was a teammate of yours for a long time. How do you think he's going to transfer his game into the New York Knicks organization? How do you think he's going to do?
I think he's going to be good. We were texting each other a couple minutes ago, and he told me that he thinks I look really good on the uniform of Toronto Raptors. And then I say, well, I think the same for you. So that means he really happy being in New York, and I'm really happy being in Toronto.
You're going to see him 4 times a year.
Yes, I'm sure he's going to do a good job. He's a very talented player, and hopefully things go well for him. And he's with Mike D'Antoni. They played together for many years, so I'm happy for him.
It's a funny thing, too, the fact that you were traded from the Phoenix Suns. You're going to see them 4 times
yeah.
this year because
yeah.
play him twice in a preseason.
Yeah.
Jack, you're on your game today.
I'm on my game. I don't know why. I'm just
right.
came to my head.
Landry, appreciate the time
thank
today.
Thank you
best
very much.
Of
nice
season,
to
right?
meet you.
Thanks for
nice
coming. Good
you.
Luck.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Definitely.
All right. So there he is, folks, Landry Barbosa. And we'll continue chatting away here on Fan 590 and fan590.com. And,
it just came to me. I didn't realize. You know, you figure, you know, you play the Phoenix Suns only twice. You're going to see them 4 times.
And they'll be the first one that they see on the sked next week, Wednesday in Vancouver. And I know people listening to Landry Barbosa right now as well are saying, you know what? The one good thing, there's going to be, I would assume, many good things, but the one good thing is it will instantly improve the history of Brazilian players on this team vastly.
Oh.
You had to go there, didn't
Come
you?
Come on, that's my man Hoffa we're talking about.
Hey, I love the guy, Jack. Great guy. Great guy. I'd welcome him back right now.
Where is Hoffa right now, anyway?
I don't know. Maybe on a beach somewhere. Who knows? I'll say
I
this,
hope
though.
He's on a beach somewhere.
When you think about, you know, Barbosa, and you think about Amir Johnson talking about getting out and running. We heard Julian Wright talking about hustle, plays, energy. Jack, Eric, it sure seems like while there is no identity, Jack, and I heard you and Eric talking about that on my drive in, and something that the team kind of struggled to establish at times over the course of maybe the last 5 or 6 years. There are times when they had it, and there are other times when you didn't know. I think you're going to see a team, and Jay Triano knowing a coach that can play to his strength, I think you're going to see that team. I think you're going to see that team that likes to get out and not necessarily shoot it in 5-6 seconds, but runs the ball up the court, tries to get the easy one, takes advantage of a mismatch, gets Barbosa running on the break, hits the ball ahead to an Amir Johnson or an Ed Davis or a Julian Wright running the floor for those kinds of easy baskets.
No, you're right. And you know, we were chatting about this earlier, and I'm a big believer in it. You know, this is 13th year doing games in the pros after doing 14 years as a college coach. And, you know, people say to you all the time, well, you can't, you know, in the pro level, it's hard to coach effort. You know, it's more about the schemes, and you got to, it's a psychological thing, you know, working with each player individually. I think the best pro coaches, year in, year out, not only, you know, coach the X's and O's, they coach the personalities and handle the personalities, but they find a way to get maximum effort.
Yes.
And I think for Jay Triano this year, I think it's going to be vital that there is tremendous expectations and demands placed on this team, and that's as much a part of your coaching arsenal as anything else, because this team absolutely has to do those things well. They have to be able to control their effort.
Jack.
That has to be there every night. That has to be a constant.
Absolutely. And I'm going to pull out some coaching
names. Because it wasn't there last year.
No, of guys that have been able to do that. And, yes, they've had talent, but they've got production out of that talent. You think about the late Chuck Daly. You think about how all the Lakers, and never mind the Lakers, ex-Bulls that have played for Phil Jackson, talking about him touching you and knowing what makes you tick and getting that effort out of you. You think of a guy like Larry Brown, who does it totally different from a Phil Jackson or a Scott Skiles. I heard you guys talking about Milwaukee. He does it totally different.
Hey, you look at Doc Rivers, his first year at Orlando.
41-41,
amazing.
And they thought that team was going to win 12 games.
And here we are with the Raptors, right. And it's a similar story where expectations are low, but he was able to find a way to draw that out of his group, and he had some special guys on that team with overachiever type personalities. That has to be tapped into this year. That's what I'm looking for from this group.
Well, let's hope they play that
Jared
way.
Jack getting set to join the conversation right here as well.
Right.
We heard him coming, clapping his hands. He's ready to go.
Shaking hands, kissing babies. He's ready.
No headset. You and me, we go without the headset here.
He's like the mayor in Toronto here, huh?
The old guys wear the headsets.
Something like that.
Jared, I was asking Amir earlier, and I'm going to hit you right off the bat with this as well. Why did you spend so much time in Toronto in the offseason? We're all impressed that you did, but why?
I mean, really, I really wanted to show, I know with all the trade rumors and everything going on, sometimes when you don't get to speak for yourself, your actions more so speak for you. And I think I took it upon myself to make sure I show my face, show them that I exactly want to be here. And also, you know, I think it's important that over the course of the summer, it's a long summer, that you work on your game, but you do it with your teammates in some way, shape, form, or fashion. So when I came up, I spoke to Amir, spoke to Sonny, and spoke to DeMar. Like, yo, I know you're doing your thing wherever you reside at in the summertime, but let's make sure we all help get each other better going into the season. Also compete against one another and help make each other better in the offseason as well.
You know, you look back last year, you had some moments where you were at this level. Then there were other moments where you were very frustrated. I remember you and I chatted a few times about it, where, you know, how you react to it. And you look at your first year in Toronto, and you look and say, you know what, you're probably going to have a more significant role this year. How did last year prepare you for this year?
Just be thankful for whatever opportunities you have. You know, I ran into various people this summer, and just knowing that people give an arm and a leg to be in the position that I'm in, I am, as far as being an NBA player, as far as, you know, making the type of money I make, or, you know, just the opportunity overall. And I think just being thankful in every sense, you know, and I don't just say it just to say it. I mean, if you get 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you know, there's so much more worse that could be happening. So just be happy for, you know, whatever opportunity you get. And when you get the opportunity, just try to make the most of it.
Jared, you talked about working on your game with your teammates, being back in Toronto. Jay Triano says there isn't a leader yet. One will emerge, and if not, it's going to have to fall on the coaching staff. But I'm looking at you as a guy that's you're one of those what I call young vets. You've been in the league, you know, long enough to know what's going on. you got your skill, you know what's going on in terms of what it takes to be successful. Do you kind of, not that it's going to be given to you, but you kind of take that on and say, hey, you know what, you look around the locker room, I've been here longer than most of you guys, and I know a little bit of what it takes, so I'm going to offer this up. How much of that do you take on in the position you're in now?
Well, I know every year people say, you know, what did you work on in the summer? Well, me, one of the things I put atop my list is me being a 24-hour leader. You know what I mean? And that just doesn't fall into place when we're in the locker room or on the team playing. It's when we're at dinner, when we're on road trips, when we're, you know, as long as we're all teammates, I think it falls upon my responsibility and some other guys to be very vocal and speak up and, you know, to be in tune with guys. Like this summer, DeMar had a birthday party out in L.A. I went to go support him and hung out with him for a few days. I had my basketball camp in D.C., him and Sonny. Came out and played with the kids. So I think all that is a part of it. I don't think it's just what we do here when the fall sets in. I think it's, you know, what you do on a day-to-day basis, you know, as long as you're a teammate.
You know, we've heard the word constantly today, chemistry. And I think you're defining what chemistry is not only the 2 hours a day in practice, but forming that family personality that really good teams have.
Yeah, and to go back to your other question, I mean, the other reason why, you know, we came up here throughout the summer is that we really want to, you know, show the support to the fans. They do a great job of embracing us and accepting us into you guys' community, and that's something we don't take for granted. We know them supporting the Raptors isn't something they have to do. It's definitely a choice, and we really appreciate them for that. So we try to give back by just showing them an appearance in the summer where it's on our time. We don't have to, but we do it just because, you know, we like them as well. But the chemistry, I mean, I think it'll come. Like I said, with any new team, it's going to take some time. I mean, hopefully that's what training camp's for, and hopefully we can gel a lot faster than we did last year and try to make some noise.
Last couple of questions have centered on leadership and chemistry. Was both of those components, were they missing last year from this team?
I wouldn't say missing. They just weren't there as much.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like I said, I think leadership is going to have to go on a 24-hour basis. You know, you just can't, for a team to be successful, I doubt if Kobe Bryant just leads them for the 2 hours that they're together every day. You know what I mean? I can see him and Pau Gasol talking or texting or doing something as to for the betterment of the team, not just when you're on work hours, quote unquote. You know what I mean? So I think it got to be something that's, you know, a daily thing with us, not just an hourly thing.
Jared, is it going to be a little easier to do that this year? I mean, people looked at Chris last year to do that, and you know Chris is better than we do. He's more of a lead by example type guy. He's not going to grab you by the scruff of the neck and say, hey, I need you to do this. He might give you a look, but he's not going to grab you and tell you all the time. Is it easier to do that without somebody who is your best player but not necessarily possessing those leadership type qualities?
Well, I think, you know, I thought Chris did a good job leading us last year. But I think sometimes that title is unfairly thrust upon the best player.
Okay, good.
You know
point.
What I mean?
Okay.
All because you're the best player doesn't necessarily mean you have to be the leader, you have to be the vocal guy. The example I give to a lot of people is that, you know, with the San Antonio Spurs, you know, at one point David Robinson was the best player in the league, but the leader on that team was Avery Johnson.
Yes.
You know, bottom line. And Avery Johnson, to tell you quick, you know, he wasn't the best player, didn't have the most talent in the league or on his team for that matter. But he had the respect of those guys, and he was the guy that when he spoke, everybody listened. You know what I mean? So I think it's just that respect factor of knowing how to come at people, and if they have the mutual respect for you, they'll listen.
Jared, appreciate the time today, and we're looking forward to it. Best of luck this season.
No problem, man. Good seeing y'all.
Hey, how's your dad?
You. My dad's good. He's great. He'll be here in October.
Number one Raptor fan, your dad.
Thanks Jared.
A lot, Jared. There's Jared Jack of the Toronto Raptors. Appreciate his time. And, again, folks, camp opening officially tomorrow here in Toronto before the team gets set to head out to Vancouver.
Straight shooter.
Straight shooter, no doubt about it.
Great point about a 24-hour leader.
I like that. Well,
you know, and
Jack, I like the fact that he recognizes that,
well,
too.
Well, and I'm going to quote, draw a quote from a guy who's a 13th man or 12th man, DJ Benga with the Lakers. And he was talking to the international media during the NBA Finals, and he was speaking in one of his four or five languages that he speaks. I think it was French. And he said, and the loose translation came in, Kobe makes you a better teammate because he leads you, he sets expectations for you, and you don't want to disappoint them. And you know, we heard Jarrett talk about Avery Johnson in that way. I think you might see Jarrett in that way with some of the younger guys, well, especially on this team.
And I think if I had to pick one thing that was said today by all the players so far, that jumps out at me from a standpoint that the beyond the court, the other 22 hours a day, there's a recognition from a team and organizational standpoint that some of what went on last year can't go on again.
Right.
And that there has to be a more serious commitment to winning, not only when you're in the gym, but more importantly when you're away from the gym in terms of your focus and what you're focusing on.
Folks, we're here on fan590.com, the web exclusive here, broadcasting live from Raptors Media Day. We've already chatted with Andrea Bargnani and Jose Calderon, Julian Wright, Ed Davis, Amir Johnson, Jarrett Jack. We're going to have a number of players, coaches, management join us over the next hour or so as well. And again, we will stick around and continue to chat away at fan590.com as long as they'll have us and until they kick us out of here. So we'll continue with the interviews throughout the day. At some point, I think one of us might have to take a pit stop, and I'll put myself at the top of that list here because I've been on the air for about the last 4.5 hours.
The Eric Smith Marathon. I heard you at 9 o'clock say it's going to be 6 hours. So
yeah,
you're
6 hours of me, so you better at least – you don't have to like me, but you're going to at least tolerate me.
You're at the top of the stretch now, man, only an hour and a half to go.
You think about it.
And I've only had one slider. Can we at least have, like, another break for another bite? I mean, this is the killer thing, too, and you guys know this. Greg Lowe is supposed to be working, but you know, he hooks us up, gets all the bells and whistles to work, and then he's off chowing down. He's like coming back and forth, eating food all day, grabbing drinks, and like, come on.
Come on, there's a guy right now digging a ditch, not concerned. You're talking
for
11.
No, now you're looking to get the fan vote, Jack. I know you want some food too. I saw you eyeing that cheerleader when she walked by with those burgers. I saw that. Unless you weren't looking at the food.
Well, Jack and I had a couple of burgers before you got here,
so
Eric.
There's where the truth is.
And I'll tell you.
So when the ditch digger
Jonesy
was,
had, Jonesy
the ditch
had two.
Digger was digging
I had two,
his ditches.
And I had one.
And Jack knows this as a baseball guy. Oftentimes, when the reliever comes in from the bullpen, the first sign the catcher gives him is a sleeve across the mouth. Like, wipe the mustard, the hot dog you had, wipe it off. You're on the hill now to do some business. So anytime you want to give us that sign, we know that's what it means.
Well, hey, sorry, what?
Triano's behind us
being
interviewed
by Barry Davidson. I can't help this Kent City setup that we got here.
Well,
it's like the MASH 4077 here or something. I don't know what's going on.
We're only radio over here.
That's right. We don't have three booths like you guys do over there.
Jay Triano and Barry Davis telling us to keep it down here. Hey, where's the security guy? John Atilius, come on. Get this under control,
wasn't
please.
Wasn't Barry Davis once a member of the Fan 590
family?
That's a family, way back when
family
we
feud here.
Back in the day,
I forgot
Barry.
We're all Rodgers, right? We're supposed to get along. Big group hug. Dread the red.
Oh, yeah.
The red being Rodgers, of course. We continue to plow along here, and we're going to be joined by a number of members, and we will be having one of them join us actually in about 5 seconds here as DeMar DeRozan is getting set to come on into Tent City here and chat with us. And DeMar, we've talked to a number of your running mates over the course of the summer here in the last few minutes. Amir's been here, Jarrett. We're still waiting to hook up with Sonny Weems. But how important was it for you? Both of the other guys have addressed this already too. But to come back to the city, to work together with those guys, and to not just get that working together from a chemistry standpoint, but you know, to give to the community as well, and to kind of represent the city and the team that you play for.
You know, it was definitely big. You know, I think the fans really missed us, you know, just to get back here and see the support that we really have and see how anxious the fans are for us to get started. You know, it's really good. You know, I think we just feel comfortable when we get back here.
First time I remember interviewing you on the Fan 590 last summer, I asked you the most important question a coach always wants to know about a player: are you a gym rat?
Yeah.
And you said absolutely. What was DeMar DeRozan doing this summer, going into his second year as a pro? What kind of gym rat were you this summer? What were the things that you did when you got in the gym every day and said, man, I know what I'm doing now. Maybe I didn't know when I was coming. What do you know now that you got to do going into your second year, and how did you apply that every day in the gym?
You know, going in this summer, I definitely knew what it took to really be a solid NBA player. You know, what to work on, what I had to get better at. What's the key moves, you know, and a lot of stuff. You know, I kind of understood it more.
What are those things?
You know, definitely just being able to create a move, get a shot off the dribble. You know, 1-2 dribble, pull up, jump shot. You know, you can't always go all the way to the basket all the time. You know, it's, people like Dwight Howard down there. You know, I had to learn that quick last summer. You know, just being able to have more moves in your package to finish with instead of just trying to get to the basket or try to shoot over everybody. You know, it just always don't work that way.
DeMar, you talked about being in Toronto, and we heard from Jarrett and Amir. And how much are you guys trying to get a jump start on building that chemistry? You now know when you look at, you know, championship teams and think back to your team at USC that won a Pac-10 title, chemistry is so important. How have you guys tried to get a jump start on that?
You know, a lot of us was together this summer. You know, it was one point, it was me, Amir, Sonny, Joy. We was all in L.A. together, you know, playing. Getting it going. We was in D.C. at one point with Jared, me and Sonny.
Right, you talked about that at the camp. Yeah.
You know, just getting stuff started. Try to be around each other and just keep that chemistry going, you know, because we definitely was going to need it, you know, and just understand with everybody getting better at, you know, and help each other. You know, I think we definitely did that this summer.
DeMar, you're a young guy. You're active on the web. You're always reading stuff and keeping up on Twitter and then various websites and whatever else. You've heard or at least seen what some people are saying about this team.
Yeah.
Tell me why they're wrong, why many people are wrong about what they're predicting for this club this year.
You know, because a lot of people don't understand the type of player that we really have. You know, I think a lot of people seeing that Chris left, you know, it's over, you know, but it's not like that. You know, we have a lot of great talent in that's on the team now. I think we could surprise a lot of people this season. And, you know, I think that's what everybody on the team is ready to do.
When you look back at from a team perspective last year and you look at what this team has to have, what does this team have to have different? Maybe that team lacked last year. What would be a word or two that you would look at and say, we didn't have that, but we got to have this year?
You know, toughness. You know, I think we definitely got to be more tougher this year and really show people we're not playing. You know, I think last year we let a lot of stuff slide, you know, that happened in the games or with other players. We just got to stand up, you know, show that toughness and go out there and be the first one to throw the punch.
How much easier is that going to be this year, DeMar, with you guys trying to come together? I mean, you're going to have to earn some of that respect because you've lost a major piece that people respected around the league. How much more difficult will it be to do that this year?
Yeah, you know, I think it shouldn't be that difficult because we don't want to go through the same thing we went through last year, you know, with people not showing no respect, people just, you know, just coming out there thinking we soft. You know, I think we don't want that this year. I think everybody else could say the same.
If you look back to your rookie season, anything that you can say stood out for you, give me a positive and a negative, something that you weren't expecting as a rookie, pro and con, on the floor, off the floor?
You know, on the floor, I'd say on the floor, just how, if you're a rookie, how the vets just going to go at your neck. They don't care. You know, that's one thing. That
they didn't tell you that an NBA means no boys allowed.
Yeah. and that's true. You know, I think I'm gonna be the same way with the rookies who's guarding me this year. You know, and that's one thing, kind that I didn't really get right away. But you know, pro as I got going, I really understood how tough this lead is and what it really took. And you know, I think I started to show that as the season went on, you know, started understanding the game more and just went out there first and tried to throw the first punch.
You know, off the court, when you look at the experience of the NBA in your first year, is there one thing you look back on and say, man, I never knew that about that? Well, something that you experienced that you never thought you'd experience before, or something you got to do that you never did before in your life, but the fact that you were an NBA player?
I have to say, just being able to really bond with a team. You know, I have to say in college, you know, we had practice, then everybody go on about your business. I think now with a team like this.
People would normally think in college you have that experience.
Yeah.
And the pros, you don't. So that is an unusual comment to make.
You know, so I tell a lot of people now, you know, I think this is the closest team I've ever been on because – you know, I think even after practice, we either going to the movies together. You know, even just like yesterday, we just up and said we're going to Wonderland. You know, just stuff like that. You know, being able to do what we want when we have the time to together.
What was your favorite ride at Wonderland?
the big one. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, the Behemoth.
The Behemoth. Yeah, the Behemoth. That, yeah. You know, Sonny, ask Sonny about that. He was scared to get on every roller coaster there. So,
all right, you gave us some good ammunition for him now.
So, a guy who can fly like that is afraid of
Sonny
heights?
Sonny was – we made him get on one roller coaster. He had tears coming out of his eyes. just ask him about that. Ask him about that. And tell him I said it. I want to see what he said.
All right.
He's calling you out.
Yeah. We'll get you a copy of that then, too. DeMar, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this season, man.
Thank you. All the
There's
best.
DeMar, right, DeMar DeRozan of the Toronto Raptors. Appreciate his time. And now we've got some ammo for Sonny Weems when he joins
like
us. No doubt about it.
Well, you know, I mean, you think about that. I mean, how often do you hear about NBA players going together going on an amusement park? It's a different – But as a former college coach, I found that amazing, that comment he made about the fact that this group hangs out more together than usually you do in college.
Yeah, you're right, Jack. It is kind of interesting how it's usually flipped around the other way. And we go from DeMar DeRozan to another new member of the Toronto Raptors. Linus Klaza is joining us right now. And you know, we spoke to you when the deal was first going down. We were just
a few
feet away.
Yeah,
the offer sheet was signed. But congrats as well on the success of the World Championship. And I think a lot of people are saying, hey, if he can play like that in Toronto this year as well, even bigger and better things to come for you personally and for the team. What did you learn about yourself, if you did learn anything new about your game, yourself, and the impact you can have based on what you did over in Turkey?
It was very good summer for me, first of all, you know, signing, coming here to Toronto and going over to Turkey and you know, playing like we all did, Lithuanian national team, you know, I think it was a big surprise for everybody. And, you know, kind of me personally, you know, I had a good year back in Europe. You know, that kind of helped change my game, get a lot of confidence, and I was just able to carry it over, you know, and show it what kind of player I am in the World Championships. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this opportunity I got in front of me here in Toronto.
How excited are you, Linus? You come to Toronto, it's a fresh start. We've talked about this with all the other guys. A major piece is gone, which means there's opportunity for others. How excited are you to get in there and try to, you know, help the team and carve out a little space for yourself?
I think we all are excited. You know, I'm excited. Everybody's excited about it. You know, we all know our, you know, kind of major players are gone, and you know, that share going to spread out over everybody. But like I said, you know, opportunity is there. It's just going to be on us to take advantage of it. And, you know, you got to put a lot of hard work in, get better. You know, for us, it's going to take to keep getting better. Get better as a team, you know, every day, every practice, getting better. I think we're going to be okay.
You know, when you look from your experience in Denver, your first time around the NBA, now back, how are you different as a player this time around than you were that time?
You know, in Denver, I had my set role. I was that shooter. You know, I was a spot up shooter, and that's what people thought of me. But you know, going back for a year and playing, you know, for a very big team, having a big role, and I was kind of able to show, hey, I'm just not that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm,
and you
I'm
showed a, it this summer
I'm,
too.
I'm a way more complete player. That's not all I do, shoot, and you know, that's what I'm kind of looking forward to prove it here, that I can do a lot of things.
Nothing's official yet, but let me move away from Toronto for 1 second. What do you make of what's happening in Denver in terms of Carmelo maybe being on the move and just a kind of a new era, new wave that might be ahead for Nugget fans in that community?
You know, it's you know, I read about it. I don't know much. You know,
well,
I
know as much. We don't know any more than you do right now.
I know as much as you guys. You know how things in NBA go down. You're not sure till it really goes down. But you know, I hope they reach a solution. You know, soon it's going to be good for organization and for him. And you know, fans deserve a lot of good stuff in Denver. You know, Denver got good fans, so hopefully it all works out for them.
You learned a lot in Denver. I mean, you were there with some good teams, some good players. What in that sense do you bring to Toronto, and can you offer to these guys? And again, I look at you, I've said this with some of the other guys, a young veteran, a guy who's been in the league, knows the league, and knows what it takes. What do you do to bring that to Toronto to offer to some of these guys who, let's face it, Linus, they know, but they think they know, but they really don't?
Yeah, I think we got quite a few guys on the team that knows, you know, but for me, being in Denver and being on successful teams and playing with a lot of good players, you know, a lot of good players went through Denver. So, you know, kind of learning from when I was young, what you need to do to be successful in NBA, to stay in NBA, you know, how you need to work on the game. You know, hopefully I can pass that on a little bit on the young players, you know, if they don't have that. Or, you know, guys were in Denver who teach me how to work hard. You know, that's the main thing in NBA is to learn how to work hard.
Linus, you mentioned about the fact of your versatility, and people get too caught up in, are you a three, are you a four? The bottom line is getting on the floor and playing. When you look at your game as a guy coming over to Toronto now, what are the things you're going to try to bring to this team? What attributes do you think right away, whether Jay Triano has you at the small forward spot, the big forward spot, what are you going to bring to this team every night?
You know, one thing I can tell you every night, I'm going to be there. I'm going to give it all, lay it on the line, play hard. That's what I can promise. Shots might go down, shots might not go down, but, I'm going to be there fighting, trying to win it, trying to help a team in any way I could. It don't matter which way, whatever going that night, but, I'm going to be there and, give it my all. That's the thing I can promise.
Listen, we appreciate the time today. Best of luck this season. We'll be seeing a lot of you coming up, but thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Linus.
Linus Claeser of the Toronto Raptors, and again, appreciate his time here on the Fan 590, and of course, online right now exclusively at fan590.com, coverage of Raptors Media Day. And joining the conversation right now, Sonny Weems.
The hits just keep on coming. We won't go over the fact that Arkansas had a chance to really put the nail on Alabama and let him off the hook, but.
Well, we have a more important question.
Oh yeah, we got to ask about this.
Yes. I've heard that you're a chicken.
The behemoth ate you up, and you had tears in your eyes.
Roller coaster at Wonderland. What's going on here?
Man, I'm never getting on a roller coaster again.
Was it the behemoth, the big one?
No, it was on a little small roller coaster. They tricked me because it was small, and they was like, "It's not going."
You remember the name of it?
Not going to go up any hoops. Nah, I can't remember.
Did it go upside down?
No, it was like a little small little roller coaster, like called the dad. It goes real fast.
Was it the fly? The fly?
I think it was a fly.
And you didn't like it, huh?
No. Nah. It shot out like it was in a cannon, man.
No. That was the.
I don't remember. I haven't been in
there
years.
I have. I just
it's like
took
you
my
being
kids
chased by the police.
Like
something.
Like a test. Test track is the one at Disney World, but this one, Speed Coaster.
Man.
Yeah, you took off like bang, right?
Man.
Yeah. You whiplash, your neck.
Well, DeMar said you were literally crying.
Nah, man. Just my eye got water from all the wind, man. That's all. I think I hit him on his knee or something once. I grabbed his knee or something. I was scared. I'm never getting on the roller coaster.
We'll move away from Wonderland for a second here. And lots of time for that, I guess, in the years ahead. But
Let's hope it's wonderful.
There you go. There's a perfect segue, Jack. Where were you when I needed you? This year coming up for you, Sonny. Take what you did sort of last quarter of last season. How do you bottle that and spread it out over the course of 82? How can you have that kind of impact over the course of a full season?
Just stay focused. And, I think, the last couple games or months of the season, I think, that if I finally got the minutes to be able to do that. And I think this year I'm going into a season where I'll be playing those kind of minutes throughout the whole season. And all I needed to do was, just take those minutes that I played last year, just take the beginning of the season, just start, the end of the season last year. And I think, if I'm capable of getting those kind of minutes again, that I think I can do it throughout the whole season. I think that myself, I worked hard, and I'm a good enough basketball player to be able to do that. And I think, it's just, a matter of me just coming in and just being focused throughout the whole season. Let all distractions behind, and leave those behind me, and just take care of what I need to take care of on the court.
Last year at the end of the year, I heard people saying, well, the thing that Sonny needs to work on in the offseason, he's going to stretch his range out and improve his three-point shooting, this, that, the other thing. And I look at it, I'm just going to tell you what I think. Sometimes that's to your detriment, because the greatest thing about your game is your mid-range game, because there's a lot of guys in this league that can't do what you do. So how do you balance playing to your strength, which is definitely that, and at the same time being able to stretch your game out a little bit? How do you balance that?
For me, I'm just going to stick to my mid-range game. I'm not going to try to, impress anybody and try to become a three-point shooter. That's why we have guys
that
who they
that.
Pay to come in and do that.
Right.
And if I need to take a three, then I'm going to take a three. But I'm sticking to my strength, what has got me, that star position over the last 2 months of the season. That's what got me, where I wanted to be. And I'm going to stick with that. If I need to shoot a three, I'll shoot a three. If I don't have to, I won't. So that's what they pay a lot of the other guys on the team for. And that's their job, to shoot three-pointers. That's not my job. My job is to get up and down the floor, play defense, and, you know, use my athletic abilities.
Sonny, I've been asking very well put. I've been asking all the guys about this because I've been beating this drum about chemistry and the team that stays together, wins together kind of thing. We know about you and DeMar and Jarrett and Amir and Joey and guys kind of hanging out in the summer. How do you expand that circle and bring the rest of the guys in to build that chemistry in the entire locker room? It started off with, you know, it's got five or six guys. Jose's left over from last year. How do you bring it so that all the new guys are in and that chemistry gets formed very quickly? Because I think it's important for you guys to get off to a good start this year.
It's very important. I mean, the number one thing is everyone needs to embrace everyone. I mean, no matter where you're from or no matter what kind of background you're from, I think that's the number one thing that we need to focus on. Just embracing everyone. I mean, you know, we come from different backgrounds. A lot of you're not gonna like each other. Especially when you have intense practice like that. You're not gonna like each other every day. And that's one thing, you know, I think that's different from this team than any NBA team. Even though, you know, we come from different backgrounds, I think that everyone has the willing to like each other. We had a few players on the team last year who made it hard for people to do that because, you know, a lot of them talking different, you know, in the locker room. So I think this year, you very seldom have this NBA team that which everyone likes each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a difference with this team. I think we all like each other. We willing to get along with each other. And we're willing to do whatever it takes, you know, for this team to be successful. Even though we're losing Chris Bosh, we still did a lot of great things without him last year.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's just a matter of everyone embracing each other.
Is it more difficult on this type of team? I mean, you say on this type of team people are more willing to, but does it make it more difficult when, you know, there are, compared to a lot of teams in the league, more Europeans, more, you know, there are a lot of backgrounds on this team. So, you know, especially for a guy that maybe is in the States or, you know, that – heck, some guys hadn't even been to Canada. Yeah. I mean, Ed Davis didn't have the passport, you know, on draft night. Had to wait a week or so to even just get the passport to come to Canada, let alone, you know, coming to Europe and different languages and you know, all that, the different cultural backgrounds and upbringings.
Yeah, I think it's hard for us because, like you say, we have the Euros in the locker room. And say, like, you have a bad practice with one of them and you get mad at one of them. And we all go in the locker room and they're speaking their language and you think, all the Americans think they're talking about us. So, I mean, it's just something that we have the willing, you know, just put behind us. You know what I mean, if they're gonna, that's part of their language. I mean, whatever they say, let them say it. We won't understand it anyway. So why are we trying to figure out what are they saying? So it's just one thing, you know, we have to like each other. That's it.
You know, you bring up something that kind of was under the surface. Was there a significant problem with that last year on the team?
What?
What you bring up, kind of the cultural differences and
fractured,
kind of weren't all together all the time.
Yeah, a little bit, I think so, because, you know, we might have something against Andre or something because he kind of slipped here and there on defense, or Andre might have a problem with me or something because I probably shot too much. But, you know, it's just a matter, you know, we had to put that behind us. I mean, Andre is our man, so you have to deal with what you have to do. And we have guys that came in who they brought in for us to play defense to help him. And I think, you know, that's one thing. You know, we just have to help each other. All of us, we're not 100% right. And we all have flaws, whether it's on offense or defense. We just have to pick each other up.
Let me ask you in closing here. The Sonny Weems away from the floor. Is it the same Sonny Weems that fans see on the floor, jumping on tables, waving flags, that kind
always,
of personality?
Always, yeah. Always. If you walk down the street, you see me walking down the street, you'll see it. I'm the same one. As you can see through it, I'm the same one.
So if I walk up to you on the street, I can give you a little chest bump?
Oh, you can do that. I'll give you one back. I might see you walking down the street, I'll jump on your back.
I'll be on my ass.
Yeah, man. I'm the same player on and off the court. I don't try to do anything special in front of the camera. No, I'm an outgoing person who loves to have fun, and I show that.
I was asking that more for the fans because we've seen it on the plane, jumping up and down the aisle and dancing and singing and everything else. talking about movies and TV and everything else.
Yeah,
and
I love to have
enjoying
fun,
life.
You can't go and walk around this locker room and around this town just being gloomed all the time, melancholy. So I like to have fun. I like to bring the fun in the locker room.
Well, hopefully it's a fun year as well, Sonny. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for doing this. All right, Sonny.
Sonny Williams of the Toronto Raptors here on the Fan 590 and fan590.com. And we'll continue our coverage here, and we'll be, I believe, joined by the head coach of the Raptors, Jay Triano, very shortly. But
He made some interesting points there.
We got some hamburgers rolling by, though, Jack. I'll go for another one. Why not? Come on, Jonesy, dig in. I know you guys want to.
Like
thank you very much.
I like the quesadillas, if they could bring the quesadillas by. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Greg, you want to get in? I mean, you've been eating all day. You might as well.
Going to have a burger.
So you don't want another burger, Jack?
Can we give a shout-out? What's our young lady's name?
My name's Kat.
Kat.
Wow. Thank you.
Thanks for the food.
Well, we appreciate it. And
you want me to talk? You guys
outstanding cheeseburgers. No, you know.
Actually, here's Jay Triano.
I'll put my hamburger down for Jay Triano. Yeah. But, you know, I can wait for a couple of minutes here. The head coach of the Raptors, Jay Triano, joining us.
Eric put his burger down for you, Coach.
First time he's ever put food down to do anything.
Well, you know, I told the story the other day. One of the first times, it might have actually been my first trip in my first season traveling with the team, and Sam is the head coach at the time. He was walking up and down the aisle, and he looked at me and gave me that, you know, Sam look, looking at me sideways, and said, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah, what are you doing here?
I said, I'm traveling now. No, you're not. You're not. I said, "No, I am." And he said, "Well, if you're flying, you're not eating." And I literally had, like, the plate full, the drinks there, and I thought he was joking.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I'm not give me your plate." And he reaches over, took the food off my lap. I had the drinks, and he goes, "You don't get the drink either." Took the drink away, and I didn't eat or drink for that whole ride. And I thought, okay, now I don't know if he's serious, because I figured he's coming back with my food at some point. And it
he
never came back.
Chain,
he got me real good. He got me real good. Jay, we just finished talking to Sonny, and he just
– I heard you.
Talking about –
you guys are loud.
Yeah,
if
sorry.
If we can get guys to talk on defense the way you guys do on the radio, we're going to be a better defensive team. I'm not kidding.
Can we get hired as consultants?
If you talk the way you are.
Yeah, we're sorry we interrupted
okay,
you.
Okay, we're going to make a CD with that says screen left, screen right, get through, switch.
Sonny was just mentioning the you know, and I think it was kind of a very real answer he gave about the, you know, for as much as there's always talk about, you know, Toronto being a European city and the organization has that European flair with more Europeans than maybe a lot of the other teams in the league. And it maybe has become cliche, but he was saying, hey, when it does come down to it, there is not a cultural divide, but there are cultural differences where, unlike maybe some other teams, we do have to get to know each other that much more because there might be language barriers, there might be cultural barriers, and just trying to get that all to mesh is an added element, even for you as a coach, to bring it all together.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we saw a lot of that last year. And I brought it up with a couple of the players, and then, you know, I said, is there a divide on this team? And they're like, they're looking at each other and go, no. And I remember one of them said that, you know, he might be the best teammate I've ever had. I think they were talking, you know, a North American player versus a non-North American player. He might be the best teammate I ever had. I said, well, why do I sense it? He goes, Coach, he says, when we're over here, he says, we're talking about motorsports racing in Europe and the F1 series. It's unbelievable right now. And then Sonny and DeMar have no idea or care about that kind of car. They care about the one that they might be driving. So it's, you know, there's just differences. I mean, some guys are married. Some guys have kids. Some guys are single and younger, and they can't relate. But the goal and the challenge this year is to have all these guys, and we got to bring it together on the floor as a team with the same common goals. Not about who's playing, not about who's starting. It's about who's going to help us win a basketball game and who can do that.
You know, you bring up something, I laugh, because the old line, what you think matters sometimes doesn't, and what you think doesn't matter sometimes does.
Right.
And it just find a way. How do you find a way with this group, a different group, and without a Chris Bosh,
yep,
to get them to figure out what really is important?
Well, I think, you know, it's going to start tomorrow in training camp. I think, you know, we have to, you know, commit to the defensive end of the floor. And we also know now that it's not going to be about Chris Bosh. This isn't going to be where the plays are all centered around how are we going to find a way to get Chris Bosh the ball on the left elbow so he can make his move, and how are we going to find a way to get Chris Bosh the ball down a little bit. It's not about that anymore. This is about movement offense. It's ball, you know, is not going to stick as it did sometimes last year where we wait for people to make plays. There's going to be a lot more movement offensively, and there's going to be a much better commitment at the defensive end. you know, last year, everybody says how, you know, and I use this for as fuel for me to motivate me, but how it was a bad defensive team. Well, we were not where we need to be. We were 19th out of 30 teams in our defense last year in field goal percentage against. And but the ironic thing and the thing that we'll present to our players tomorrow is that the 16 teams that made the playoffs were in the top 18. And we were 19th and we were one game out. So we have to find a way. And that's the biggest thing for us is to get that 19 in the top half of the league. And we get in the top half of the league, we're going to find ourselves playing in the postseason.
So I can make a point. You coached a team just a few weeks ago as an assistant with Coach Krzyzewski that had to have balance. You had a lot of really good players, but it was still about balance. What do you take from that experience now going into a season with that you're going to have to really stress balance?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And there are so many things this summer that I learned. A couple of them, number one, that team was dubbed the B team, which means that people didn't give them a chance. And people said, you know, you're going to go over there and represent, but then they didn't think that this team was going to win. So I like that because a lot of people are saying the same things about this Toronto Raptors team. The second thing was that there was a relentless drive to play defense. And, you know, Kevin Durant was better defensively than he was offensively, which is saying a lot because he was 30 points a game and found a way to score. But he took out the four-man on every single international team that we played. And the four-man are the guys there. They're the Garbajosas from Spain, and he didn't let him score. He blocked shots down the stretch of games. He took out the fours that like to play out the three-point line. Well, we had a 7-foot two-guard in Durant who could get out and guard those guys, and his defense was actually better than his offense was. And, you know, the offense will come, and the offense did come. There weren't a lot of intricate plays that we ran with USA Basketball. But the defense, you know, and it's funny, I was doing the scouting reports for every second game. And I'd say, then they're going to swing the ball here, and then they're going to move over here. And I was trying to get through the complicated offenses that they run. And Coach K would step in. He goes, "Jay, that's in it. That's good. That's good for now because we're not going to let that ball go from there to there. And if it gets to there, he's not going to be able to see anybody else to put it on because we're going to be all over him. Okay, move to the next play." And it was like, how are we going to snuff these plays out on the first two passes? Not about the strategy of trying to do different things. And I think that really showed me that, you know, instead of playing plays defensively and going over scouting reports, let's just do what we do and take teams out of what they want to do. Take them out of their comfort zone.
Jay, that's a great point as a coach. USA Basketball, you kind of force-fed that together in a very short time period. You've got a longer time now over the course of an NBA season, but, I mean, I look at the schedule. It's important for you guys to get off to a good start. I think that's a real key for you guys, hit the ground running. How do you do that in a short time period? That's relatively the same at the start of training camp now going into, you know, we're what, a month away from opening night?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, every team's in the same boat. Everybody gets the same start. And we have new players, again, that we're going to incorporate into our stuff. But I like the fact that a lot of our guys played at the World Championships and the rest of our players have been here for 2 weeks solid, scrimmaging every day. And we've talked to them a little bit about that. We need to get off to a great start. The schedule's tough at the beginning. We've got to find a way, and hopefully we can surprise teams. I think that teams will look at us and think that we're a team that, you know, maybe won't be competitive. And our goal is going to be to use that as a motivational challenge to all of our guys and to surprise a lot of people right off the bat. But, you know, defensive system this year is going to be a little bit different than it was last year where we kind of sat back. We're going to try to get out a little bit, deny the ball more than we have in the past, and hopefully that'll lead to transition points, and then you don't miss the 24-10 that a Bosch would give you from holding the ball in the low post.
You know, we talk to players about this all the time. For you as a coach, what's your greatest challenge or something that you need to work on that you've addressed in your own mind, saying this is what I need to do to be better this coming season?
I think it has to be my relationship with the players. I've always had a very good relationship with the players, especially as an assistant coach. I think last year I got caught up so much in being prepared and working with my assistants on being over the top with the X's and O's and, you know, making sure that we were, like, completely sound there and bringing a new staff together. And sometimes you forget about the locker room. And I think I need to relinquish a little bit more to my assistants as far as the X's and O's and the strategy that we're going to implement, and be more with the players as far as them knowing what my expectations are, and me knowing how to motivate and keep every guy driven and going.
You know, you bring up your staff, and obviously Mark Iveroni goes to the LA Clippers, and now you hire P.J. Colissimo, Scott Roth as well, you bring in. And, you know, you look at a guy like P.J., he's been a head coach in college, and then obviously three times in the NBA, so he's got that head coaching experience that you turn next to him, and you have a guy like that. How do you see his role working for you in terms of helping you in any way you need him to?
Well, and that's exactly it. He's going to help me any way that we need it. And I think, you know, last year at this time, we actually tried to get a veteran coach to come in here to bounce things off, and P.J. wasn't available. And that's why we signed him as fast as we did in the offseason, because we knew he was going to get another job somewhere. All the research we did, and we talked to San Antonio, and we talked to Sam Presti, who had him and took him from San Antonio to Seattle, then Oklahoma City, and to a man, everyone, he's a great assistant coach. He gets along well with the players. He will help you do this. I talked to Pop a little bit down in San Antonio, and and I've known PJ for years, working with the select team and him coaching the U.S. team when I played for Canada. I mean, and that kind of shows his number of years of experience. And with that, I feel like I can talk to him about anything, you know, bounce this off. We've had meetings this past week, and he said to me after the meeting, he goes, "I don't know if you should have said that. You probably should have said this." And that's the kind of stuff that I need and the kind of stuff that I look forward to, because he's a guy with a lot of experience.
Most important question, Colissimo, Triano, Colangelo, who selects the Italian restaurants on the road?
Well, it's done. PJ. No, PJ, it's true. PJ came into Toronto, and I said, "Let's go out for dinner." And he goes, "Oh, I'll make reservations." And I was like, "Well, we can do it here." He goes, no, I know all the good places. And he hadn't been in the city for 6 hours, and he knew the best places to go. And he comes up with a few more since in his short time here already. But, the thing that we're having a hard time doing, though, is it's
you got to keep your weight down.
Yeah, and we're all learning how difficult it is to eat at 10 o'clock at night. He likes the late meals. But we're having fun.
Jay, you talked about, you know, the chemistry developing with your coaching staff and the chemistry developing with the players. Jack and I had talked about, and Eric, the coaches like Larry Brown, Phil Jackson, the late Chuck Daly, guys that can get to a player and know what makes him tick. You're going to relinquish some of the X's and O's stuff, some, not all, I mean, because you're ultimately still in charge in the end as a head coach. But what kinds of things do you do? I remember seeing the Jay Triano that coached the Canadian team sometimes take the clipboard and put it under the bench and just appeal to them as players that they needed to get things done. How do you do more of that this year?
I think, you know, just when you have less to do with the X's and O's, not that I won't have less to do, you're right. It's just that our systems are in place. I mean, we liked what we did offensively. I don't need to discuss offense right now. We were fifth in the NBA last year in scoring and number one in the East. Effective field goal percentage was very high. It's just being in there with the players and finding different ways. I mean, there's one thing with Coach K this summer. He found a different way to motivate every single game, whether it was an anniversary of a game between Russia, 38 years to the day when Doug Collins and he referred to Chris, who was on the staff, as to, you know, never accepting that silver medal and educating the players about that. There's just, you find different ways to get these guys motivated. And over 82 games, it's not that easy. But I think the better that you know the players and the better that they know you, the easier it is. And, you know, we'll be creative with our the things that we do, you know, whether it's, offbeat things that we do in practice or things that you do in the game. And
I got books. If you're giving out books, I got books. I can lend you some books.
Thanks, Jonesy. I know you haven't finished coloring in two of them.
Jonesy, you set yourself up there.
I'm part of the straight man, you know. All I need to do is sit on the knee as the ventriloquist, you know.
I don't even know where to go for that. That might be the line of the day.
Oh, that's going to be like, do they have like the blooper reel? Because Jonesy just set himself right up.
We'll make sure that gets a little bit of replay.
I'm waiting for the one when I'm in the barn. I'm trying to get out.
No, that was the hotel room.
Oh, the hotel room.
Yeah,
sorry,
the girl was knocking on your door.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, and we were wondering what all the noise was about. And she's knocking for like a half an hour. Finally, Jonesy got up and let her out.
See, this is what I happened for years when I was passing him the ball or Leo the ball. I'd be the brunt of the joke. So there you go.
I did want to ask you to turn it semi-serious again for a second. Just you mentioned doing the something different over the course of 82 games, Jay. That's something that I know Joe Maddon in Major League Baseball does with the Tampa Bay Rays as well. I mean, from wearing like goofy colored pants just to unify the team, they'll show up on the road and for a 3-4 game road trip, wearing like bright yellow pants. Or I know there was one recently where I think it might have been when they came to Toronto where every guy had to wear a hockey jersey. Didn't matter which one, but every player on the team had to wear a hockey jersey. Just like little unifying things like that. Do you read those stories and Absolutely. Pick up on little things from coaches from all sports?
I love watching other coaches and what they do, especially over 82 games, and even talking to Scott Roth and PJ about some of the antics that different coaches have done over the years. And, I think that has to happen too. I think, last year was my first year. I wanted to do everything right, X's and O's. I wanted to make sure we were super prepared, and we will be again this year. But along the way, sometimes you forget that
have fun.
You got to have fun.
Have some fun.
When you're doing this, 12 to 14 hours a day, 7 days a week over the course
Can't
of a whole
work.
Season. It can't be work. It's got to be fun, and we like to have fun with the coaching staff, and we got to translate that over to the players as well. And I think that players see you laughing and see you working hard, then that creates a great atmosphere.
Well, Jay, appreciate the time, and look forward to more one-liners.
Jonesy will go on tour with you.
I'm the straight man. If I could laugh like Ed McMahon, we'd be in.
I don't even know.
No.
Let's go. I have to put up with him over the next 80
good luck.
Thanks. All right,
Thank
Jay. Thanks
Jay.
A lot. Jay Toronto head coach of the Toronto Raptors. And we continue here on the Fan590
at
fan590.com. He did. He got
just killed
you.
You.
He got you.
Surprise.
We'll be saving that tape, making sure that ends up on fan590.com for years to come. What do we got here, Jacko?
I'm going to have a chicken quesadilla.
Have you already had one of these, Jonesy?
No, I haven't.
You want one? Oh, you got your burger ready to go.
I got the burger.
So hold on. Let's check this out.
So one of us needs to talk.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I guess that'll be me. Look at this. Mark coming in with – this is like
– is this tap water or is this is this safe water?
It's warm.
Sparkling water.
I don't have an extra hand to carry. Can you
Raptors
down for me, Jonesy?
Raptors hoping for a sparkling season this year. And, and I go back to something that I talked about earlier about the whole theme of this season. And, it sounds like it's going to be the rallying cry of the team when it's, let's see if we can, watch us. Maybe we can do. And you heard Jay talk about it. And I was interested to hear Jay talking about his defensive philosophy. Jack, you know this as a college coach. When you play a team like Duke that's a defensive team and they're known as a defensive team with that reputation, they take you out of your stuff. They make you uncomfortable. When you make that entry pass to start your offense foul line extended, they've got a guy denying you. So you're not catching it in your comfort zone. You're a little bit further out. You're 2-3 steps further out. And those are the little things that make it changes a passing angle. It changes you now have to use an escape dribble to make a reversal pass. Those are the little things. And Jay said he sat back last year. And I think with this team and the quickness and the speed that they have, maybe they can do a little bit more of that aggressively, defensively, forcing the play.
I've always believed, you hear the line, defense is that disposition to dominate. The greatest compliment an opponent can pay to you is that they hate playing you.
Yes.
And I don't think teams hated playing the Raptors last year. We've had a few of the players talk about, they got to get tougher. DeMar DeRozan talked about the toughness factor. So I think that's something that's really a big issue, is the fact that you want people around the league to say, hey, you know what? I don't like playing those guys because they're a royal pain in the tail to play. And I think that's something that's got to become part of the whole fabric and culture. And I think that's what Jay is talking about, is the fact that, you have to set the tone with your defense. You got to set the tone with your ball pressure and your ability. And again, folks can talk all you want about, hey, we're going to run, we're going to score a lot of points. You know what? There's a lot of teams that do that lose. If you want to do that and win, there is an incredible price you got to pay. And that price is paid on the defensive end. And that price is paid from a standpoint that if you don't do it, you don't play. And I think that's the demanding part. That's the expectation part. That's the effort part that you have to, as a coaching staff, say, if you don't do it, we're not playing you, and we're not going to massage your ego. Too bad. Tough luck. And this is the standard. This is the bar we're setting, and you've got to reach it. And I think particularly when you're in a situation where you know that you have to overachieve and you have to have those things within you, that's vital.
Can I just quickly mention as well, Jack? I got to veer off topic for 1 second, folks, so here at fan590.com.
I made a lousy point.
You made an excellent point.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm going to take your point and apply it to another sport as well, not just basketball. When you talk about that commitment, when you talk about the offense and moving the ball and all the little intricate details, apparently that applies to football as well, in that the Buffalo Bills have just released Trent Edwards, who couldn't move the ball. And apparently Ryan Fitzpatrick can, based on what he did against New England yesterday, even with that offensive line. So either Fitzpatrick's a better quarterback, or the New England Patriots defense is that bad, because Edwards is now out of a job.
Well, the New England defense is bad. If I'm Bill Belichick, I'm a little nervous about my team, particularly how they collapsed in the second half against the Jets, and they didn't look very good. I think the Patriots are going to have their challenges. But more importantly, I think the Bills did the right thing. If Trent Edwards is not going to be your quarterback, and he's in the final year of his contract, I think it's probably a good thing to let him go and let him start to formulate what he wants to do next, because I think it would become a very difficult situation for him. So, quite frankly, I think they did the right thing by him, giving him a chance. Maybe he'll hook on with someone. I mean, his contract's guaranteed to the rest of the season, I'm sure.
Yeah, forget about Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco. Maybe it's going to be J.P. Losman and Trent Edwards having their own reality show now or something. Former Bills quarterbacks that never panned out.
Rob Johnson would lead that one.
Well, Rob Johnson's the last guy to take him to the playoffs, Jack. Yeah, come on. You want to keep going on this one?
Don't start with me on that.
Let's get back to basketball. Raptors Media Day here at the ACC. And you're listening live exclusively at fan590.com. We've had a number of guests join us over the course
Dan
of the
Gladman,
afternoon.
The Dan television Gladman, producer.
Super
is
producer. Obviously working very pictures. Hard right now, taking pictures taking with pictures. His BlackBerry.
For the scrapbook, I think.
On a rainy day, the typical sunglasses on the head, much like most cocky producers.
Well, the good thing is he isn't wearing the sunglasses inside, because yeah. we've been told there's only two kinds of people that wear sunglasses
who are
inside.
They?
Donkeys and movie stars.
Donkeys. Uh-oh. So he's got them on now.
Oh!
And I haven't seen one of his movies, so, you know, you don't wear the
he's
glasses
He's under the
inside.
Bright lights now. So we've had a tremendous number of players in here today, Eric.
We have.
And I guess the theme today would be chemistry.
Yeah.
Defensive intensity. All for one, one for all. Leadership. I think you hit them all.
Those are the main ones.
I would say chemistry and leadership to me stand out the most. And
those
just,
would be the things
and,
jumping
and
out.
Energy, being a high-energy kind of team. I think a lot of guys are expecting on the offensive end, you know, a bit more of a track meet, running up and down and playing that more of that high-octane offense.
Yet the fan base is, you know, and I want to go back to what you said earlier, Jonesy, and to the team that won the Atlantic Division title, and you said that they were predicted – what was I think it was about 32.5.
I'm going to look it up. This team is predicted at something at 29.5 or 30.
Okay, so relatively speaking, within two and a half games, this team is, you know, relatively in that same position as that team. Does this team have the talent level as that team? I don't know if they do. On the other hand, I think when you look around this league, and I apologize for referring so much to Milwaukee, but was their team that good last year?
No, it's about overachieving, Jack.
I mean, they lost Michael Redd early in the year, who's quote-unquote on paper a good player, but you don't win on paper.
And they lost Andrew Bogut at a critical time, and yet, you know, all things being equal, they had game six and a chance to close out Atlanta at home, and they let it slip away.
Yep, they did.
And that's a team that overachieved, no question about it. And I think, you know, you have to, if you're the Raptors, you have to set your sights on that. You have to look, use all of these, you know, the naysayers and all of this stuff as motivation, and in other people's eyes maybe overachieve and do what you know you're capable of doing. And when people say, well, you overachieved, you say, no, this is what we set out to do. This is a goal that we established for ourselves. And I think that's where the Raptors are right now. We have people calling us, emailing us, asking us, you know, what's this team going to be like? We said we don't have a feel, but at the same time, we look at this team and say, if they can get off to a good start, feel confident, and, you know, and I guess in everybody else's eyes, overachieve, they have a chance to be right in the mix, Jack. And I you know, people are saying, well, you know, you're towing the company line. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't see 47 wins in 2007 either, and nobody did. And if you did, you're lying.
And on the other hand, I didn't see 40 wins last year either.
No.
I thought there were going to be a team that could win 45. You know, so it's an odd league, and things can change. I guess the point would be, we've made this point, and Jay just made it, you know, the start of the season, the schedule, you know, for two games in October and then a difficult November stretch. Coming out of November, you know, you look at that schedule early on, gotta hang just around 500. I think if they can get through that stretch a little bit, they'll be okay. Because the potential of that schedule early on could be, they could get behind the eight ball and have a difficult time getting back.
Yeah, you're facing that West Coast trip in the first week of November, a couple of home games and then out road out west, and you really get punched right away, potentially.
But, you know, Butch Carter always used to say this. He said, I'd rather play
yes.
West Coast teams early because they don't have it all together yet. You know, you play a team like the Lakers or San Antonio or Utah or one of those teams late in the year, they're humming and they're playing their competition in most years a superior conference in the West. So they look at you coming in, an Eastern team in March, and they've been going head-to-head every night against the higher-end teams in their conference. You're mincemeat when you get out there. And I think maybe you can steal a game or two, which you're going to have to do early in the year.
And I think, Jack, it plays into all of the other themes that we are talking about here when you talk about chemistry and bonding and all, like, hey, you have two at home and then you're out there.
Got to win the first two at home.
And there's nobody else around. It's you. It's, you know, the us against the world, because you're out there for four games at the start of the year. That's a perfect time to start to come together and like you said, maybe steal a few, start the improvement process, because even that team that we talked about that won the division, they lost five in a row out west. And we all remember coming back on the plane. You know, one of the guys, one of our callers said they should fit Sam for a Kevlar jacket. Remember that?
Yeah.
They were ready to get rid of him and everything else associated with the team. So I also think that you need time. It takes time, and that's something that over time will develop if you're working at it constantly.
Again, you're listening, folks, on fan590.com. It's the Fan 590 and a web exclusive here from Raptors Media Day. Paul Jones, Jack Armstrong, Eric Smith. Most of the players have started to filter out here from the atrium at the Air Canada Center, and we're kind of staring out the front window towards the Real Sports Bar, the new condos out front and everything else down here at the ACC, and we're going to be joined shortly by Brian Colangelo, the general manager of the Toronto Raptors, the president and general manager. Again, most of the players towards the locker room and starting to change out of their uniforms. Most of the guys throughout the course of the day today are actually in their uniform, as they're not only doing the sit-down interviews with television and radio, but they're also getting pictures taken for the media guide and for various promotional you know, material over the course of the season. So most of the guys do their interviews.
I saw you out front taking pictures as well for the Eric Smith show.
Yes.
Did you see that, Jonesy?
Yeah,
they're going to be on a billboard, right?
Yes.
Take down the one of McCowan. Out front and put up Eric's?
Yes. Getting all over that. The billboards that I'm on are usually in the bathrooms, I think, or in the post office with the wanted.
That's all right.
With the phone number underneath. So, you know, if you can use me for ransom, then please go ahead and do so. Just give me a cut of it, if at all possible.
The King's ransom.
Now, yeah. We're talking about the uniforms, and I'm looking at some of, as I tweeted earlier, we got the Media Day brings out the Kaiser Sose, the usual suspects. And we see all our media brethren down here.
Barry Davis.
Barry
never
Davis.
Met a free meal he didn't like.
Chowing down. But to me, the winner today, Catherine Humphreys with the bright yellow boots. Like, she looks like she's ready to go hiking in Oregon or something.
It's quite a look.
I think you could get away with it, Jonesy.
No.
You guys have these keys?
Yeah, we've had the quesadillas, but not enough.
Yeah, Barry,
if there's any extras floating around, if you want to try and bring them this way, we'd be happy to eat some quesadillas,
Barry's
some burgers.
Like, he's like Champ Bailey, picking them all off right now.
If you want to hear, like,
Uh-oh. So that's what happened. Apparently any of the interviews on Sportsnet today, because we're in Tent City right behind them, we're going to be in the background.
Well, you know, we did our best to keep it down.
Two-channel audio? Ask Mully. Is it two-channel audio or one? Can you turn one down? Keep us up on the other one?
Well, it's hard to contain Jack here. You know, the booming pipes of Jack Armstrong and the dulcet tones of Paul Jones.
Plus, there's nothing sweeter than, you know, the leaves are starting to change color. The Bills are 0-3, and Raptors are starting training camp for year number 16. So how, you know, you got to be excited. You got to be fired up.
It's like Groundhog Day all over again, especially when it comes to the Bills being 0-3. That's kind of the norm around this time of the year for the Buffalo Bills. And hopefully it's not the 0-3 start for the Toronto Raptors. We talk about the importance of trying to get off to a hot start this season and getting off to a better start overall for this club. And, again, we're waiting for Brian Colangelo to join us. He's busy with a scrum right now with the rest of the media. However, we will be chatting in a couple of minutes' time here with, I believe, Sherman Hamilton from Raptors TV is going to join us. And he's chatting with his golf partner, Paul Jones, right now.
Well, Sherm's people had to we had to sign the papers to allow him.
They had to confirm that he was able to join us first?
Yeah, he had to. Well, you know,
Matt Devlin's been stiffing us all day, so we're gonna
Devlin's on a uniform code violation, too, right?
He's got the Fred McMurray sweater today. He's looking, the father knows best.
Devlin's looking like
my
sociology prof there in second year. Are there patches on that sweater on the sleeve there, Dev?
He's smoking the pipe as well.
Well, at least it's not a Cosby sweater like our man Greg Lowe is usually wearing down to the games.
Well, Sherman Hamilton is with us.
We're the fashion police, Sherm. Come on.
Obviously.
Everybody you weren't asked. You've been stiffing us all day. Come on, Devlin. As soon as we're done with Sherm.
You're next in. You're in the –
Not for long.
He's got his own show now. Toppers.
You're in the chair next, Devlin. I would say it's like my barber, but I haven't been to the barber in years. You
come
know?
Sit down here. I'll share the microphone with you. If you like.
You got your own show.
Sure. What do you make of this team coming up this season? I know you're just trying to dodge bullets here right now, but
I got my bulletproof.
Set him hello. Time, how was your summer?
What do you think of this team going into the season? Because one of the points Jack was mentioning is it seems like, you know, and I'm sure you've been getting the same thing with the interviews you've been doing over the course of the day. The themes and the words we've heard most addressed throughout the many interviews: leadership, chemistry, cohesion, family, unity. A lot of that
team
coming
effort.
Right now. Team effort, yeah. And it kind of addresses maybe something that was missing at times last year as well, something that the players are recognizing needs to be a greater emphasis this year.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, obviously we're talking about the loss of Chris Bosh and not having that go-to guy. But I do think when you talk about team effort and chemistry and all that, there's a point in games where you need somebody to step forward and be that guy to be able to take the load on their shoulders. And right now, the Raptors are going to have to figure out who that's going to be. A lot of people expect it to be Andre at this point in his career, but until he develops that, we don't know who that's going to be. But I do think that having everybody accountable every given night to perform at a high level is something that Jay Triano can use in his benefit and kind of hold it over these guys. Hey, if you're not performing, you're not going to play. But if you perform, there's minutes for you. And I think that's kind of the carrot you need to dangle in a situation like this.
And Sherman, and you know, because you played for Jay, I think it's important to do that right away. The first time, you know, there's a screw-up or the first time there's an opportunity to use that as a teaching moment to say, hey, you need to sit because you didn't do this and this is what we need, because that's going to help you later on. I think for Jay, and he told us as much, that he was kind of more worried about other things this year. Last year, this year, he can't be worried about those things.
Well, you're right. And Jay, you know, leaning to his strengths of X's and O's, focused on that last year, and he saw the effects of that off the court in the locker room. You've got to manage people in this league, and Jay's going to have to do that. But with this group, he doesn't have those, we'll call them hardheads, that he had possibly last year. And I think that Jay understands that he's got to get this group believing, number one, they can win, and believing that if they put maximum effort out every given night, they're going to give themselves a chance to win. And if he can do that, then the X's and O's are going to take care of themselves. And I think Jay realizes that. And a summer with Coach K will help you understand all the different elements of coaching. I mean, you've got to be pretty versed in all areas, and Jay's realizing that managing those people and understanding emotions and getting people's, I think, understanding how people tick is something that he's going to have to really depend on this season to keep this group moving in the right direction.
Sherman, what are you most intrigued about coming into the season? Like, what is there like a storyline, or is this something you're like going, I can't wait to see this particular guy or this particular thing this season?
Yeah, there's a few things. One thing is I want to see how the young guns react to being scouted. Last year they into the year and they were just basically an unknown factor. They came on, surprised a lot of people. Now they've had summer league. They've opened a lot of eyes. This year they're going to be on everybody's radar, and I want to see how those guys perform. Amir Johnson, he's more of the consistent factor. He's going to run the floor. He's going to rebound and defend. But Sonny and DeMar are going to have some challenges at their positions. I'm also waiting for Andrea to take that step. And I think this is the year for Andrea to take that step.
How much easier, Sherm, to take that step now? Because he's been criticized as a number one pick who hasn't been there and hasn't. He should be better for a number one pick. But he did have an all-star in front of him.
Right.
Will it be easier or will it be tougher because he'll be on the radar, as you put it?
It's a point of view. It's perspective. I mean, for Andrea, I think he's got to look at it as more opportunity. So that's going to be more chances for him to develop different areas of his game.
Right.
I mean, he's going to face double teams. He's going to have to be a good passer, a good decision maker out of double teams. One-on-one situations, he can't settle for things. He's going to have to be aggressive and get to the free throw line. But I do think being scouted and everybody trying to take away your strengths is something that he's going to have to adjust to on a game-to-game, possession-by-possession basis. And you've got to constantly factor these things in as you play. And for Andrea, the development for him physically has been fine.
Yeah.
It's recognizing things during the flow of the game that he struggled with at times. And I think this is going to be that step year for him if he can understand how teams are guarding him.
How do you manage the guard situation with Calderon, Jack, Barbosa in particular? You got three smallish type guards in a league that has gone more so with bigger type guards. Yet there's no rule against playing two at the same time, three at the same time. I mean, the bottom line is the result, not the look. So how do you manage three? I'm just throwing those three out there and guys that want the ball in their hands and want to make plays. And how do you manage that?
Well, I think the good thing about those three point guards is two of them at least definitely can play off the ball. Jarrett Jack and Leandro Barbosa has done that his whole career.
Yep.
He's a scorer. He's not necessarily a point guard, but he can score the basketball. And I think if you put him alongside a Jose or a Jarrett Jack, you can get very good offensive production. Now, the defensive side of the ball, that's going to be the question. But, you know, we've all talked about it last season. The Raptors should have played some more zone at times to protect themselves defensively. Maybe that's a concept Jay's going to have to implement when he goes with the smaller backcourt. But one thing you don't want to do, I think, with those point guards is take away Leandro's ability to score in transition. He's not necessarily the guy, in my opinion, that he needs the outlet pass. He may be the guy that needs the kick-ahead pass, and now he becomes more of an effective scorer down the floor. And I think you've got to play him in those areas as well. You can play him at the point, no question about it, but he can put the ball in the basket, and you've got to use his speed in the open court.
You know, I asked you this, Jack, earlier. We got your answer, and I believe Linus Klaza was sitting down to chat with us. And we're going to bring Matt Devlin into the conversation as well. He's going to be joining us. And no, we're all right, Jonesy. We're all right. I got Matt right here. I'm going to ask the three of you, though, because you already heard Jack's answer a little bit earlier.
Can we review? That was like a half an hour ago, man.
Well, you know, you're showing your age now, and you're like, you know, you don't remember what Jack said? All right.
You got the daggers going today.
He's like my wife. He doesn't listen to me.
People can't dress.
He's got his own show. What do you want?
Oh, that's right.
Listen, 9 a.m. to 12 o'clock, the Eric Smith Show on the Fan 590.
Wow.
That's the key.
Whoever else is in there.
By the way, I'm sick right now, so I'm going to...
You're breathing it onto me.
Oh, boy.
You want to take this... I'm going to hold this thing back. I was even going to call you yesterday and tell you that Cold Effects on sale at Shoppers Drug Mart, $49.99.
You're on point. You're on point today,
folks.
By the way, Cold Effects is great, and I don't do any, nor neither one of us actually do anything for Cold Effects other than take it.
Yeah.
And I'm on like 15 of them right now, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling natural.
Well, see, folks,
for those
people listening online, you are now getting a live. This is I'd like to say like Brent Musburger, a live look, but a live listen of the shenanigans that go on the plane, folks. This is where it's at.
If I get sick, I'm blaming you.
See,
so,
that's
you know.
I would hear that. Right. That's when Eric points the air vents on our seat. He points them towards Devlin because he says, "I don't want that air coming back here."
Jones, set up the air wall.
Form the air wall.
So if you ever get that breeze on the back of your neck, Jack, when you're sleeping, because I know you knock out about 2 minutes into the
flight. There are a lot of issues here, huh?
Well, Sherm, I'm going to bring up the other issue, and that is this. that explain both Jonesy and Eric. Please explain for all those listening now on the web what you guys do when you enter a hotel room, because you both are germaphobes.
Now they're trying to out each other.
All right, people. No. I'll take.
He's worse than me. As bad as I am, he's worse. No, and he knows he's worse.
Do they enter the room together, Matt?
I'll take the charge on this one. When I go into a hotel room, I take two steps in and I drop my bags, reach into my media bag for a package of the first package, by the way, supplied by Mrs. Smith at one point.
Yep.
Sterilized Lysol wipes, and I begin wiping down the phone, the TV converter, the handles, the faucets, the back of the door handle, and just open the window no matter how cold it is, because I don't know who was in there before.
Do you levitate over the bed?
I'd like to. No, I don't call for the new sheets like Eric does.
I did do that once. They were pretty funky.
But I just, five-star hotels were staying.
There's there's like three-star clients sometimes.
Yeah, there's sometimes some two-star clients. So wow. we just want to make sure.
Unbelievable.
So there you go. And when in doubt, I hit either Rory Mullen or one of the boys from the Raptors physio and training staff, medical staff, for you guys do the cold FX. Sherman and I are into the oil of oregano.
I do that too.
Yeah.
Burn it all out.
Burn it down.
Burn it all out. And then you got to take the probiotics to get it all back up again. All right, let's get this back to basketball. Okay. Get this back to basketball.
Jack's dying here.
Jack's dying. He's just a Joe Bag of Donuts kind of guy, right, Jack?
This is very deep for me.
All right, Jack. I know we can't burn everything with red wine and beer, so.
That's the home run right there, dude.
All right.
You could die in though.
All right, so earlier I asked you, so we'll get a review because Jonesy needs the review right now. Jay Triano on Friday said to me that the only guy he thinks he sees in his mind locked into the starting five would be Andrea Bargnani. Otherwise, it's up for grabs at the 1, 2, the 3, and the 4. Give me your starting five again right now, and I'm going to ask all of you, and I know we haven't seen training camp yet. I'm just saying we all know that this is just kind of your guesstimate on what you think might evolve
on
over the course
paper,
of camp.
On paper.
Over the course of camp and in the preseason. What do you think, Jack?
I'm going Jack, Barbosa, DeRozan, Chiesa, Bargnani.
All right. I'll go over to you, Jonesy, because I give Matt and Sherm a little longer to think about this because I teed you up once already. And then don't give me like seven names, I know that's what you like to do.
I'll go with Jack in the backcourt with Jarrett and Leandro. I think you need a five to kind of protect Andrea, so that he doesn't have to play inside kind of at both ends. So give him a bit of a break. So, I mean, I think you're probably – maybe you go with Amir at the five, Andrea at the four, and I think DeMar still starts at the other wing position, the three.
All right, Sherm, you got the mic in your hand there right now. I'm going to pass off to Matt here as well. He can follow up yours, but what do you think?
I'm going to go with Jose. No, I'm not. I'm going with Jared Jack, and I'm going to go with Leandro in the backcourt. I have a toss-up between Sonny and DeMar at that three spot, but I'll give it to DeMar. And I'm with Jonesy. I think you've got to kind of give – Andrea a bit of a break on one end of the floor from that five spot. So I'm going to go with Amir Johnson. David Anderson is a still step-out big man. He's not necessarily a low-post threat. So I'm going to use Amir Johnson there. And I think you got some good firepower coming off the bench with Sonny Weems and Linus Kleiza doing it. And Julian Wright to some respect.
And Jose, to me, orchestrating that unit.
Right.
It's interesting because I think that the conversation brings up, in my estimation, one of the biggest questions, and that is, where are you going to play Andrea? Because we all know that he's a natural four. But I think that there is some conversation that he is going to be at the five. And I think that if you look at this with Chris's departure, I think he's more comfortable at the four. And when you do that, you still have that void at five. So do you want to have a void at the four and the five, or do you want it to be just at the five? If he does play against other centers, do you then put him in a situation where you bring somebody in off the bench, put him at the five, so he can run at the five against their backups,
right,
the backup five? So I'm kind of along the lines of thinking with Sherm and Jonesy in that I think that I don't think it's going to play out like this. I think Andrea is the five, and the whole, but I would like to see him at the four, figure something out at the five. What that is, I don't think anybody knows right now. And then you have Jared Jack, you have Barbosa. I think you add in Klaza, and then I think you have Andrea, and then figure something out at the five. Andrea, here's his opportunity. You are a four. Who it is at the five, I don't know. I'm not saying it's going to go that way, but that's just the way
and
I look at it.
And it's an incomplete picture with the two rookies being banged up in the front court.
You bring up the question. I mean, you bring up both of you guys. Jones seems to bring up the thing. Look, here's his one chance. He's a four. We all know he's a four. If you're going to play him at five, play him against the backup five where he can take advantage and he doesn't have to worry about getting banged up and all that stuff. But it's an incomplete picture, as you point out, because – what about that five spot? What about the five?
And we know that Brian is he's beating the bushes right now to try to find somebody who's a more what word am I looking for? Maybe a more conventional five man to help out. Eric Dampier is a guy. I heard Eric and Jack talking about it.
Trent Edwards is available.
Trent Edwards got cut by the Bills. He's available.
Yeah, you got cut. So
that's why, you know, the NFL's got it right.
Because they're cutting this dude, and what are they on the hook for?
Nothing.
I don't know what they're on. Well, the rest
they're,
of the salary.
They're going to have something on the hook, but it's not going to be.
He's got his money up front, right? The bonus is done, and away we go. So, you know, you were talking about Andrea, Matt, and Sherman. Let's look at the opportunity.
Hold up. He can't get away with that. Eric sprayed the mic after Matt Devlin handed it back to him.
Oh, my God.
Greg Lowe's
not just
Greg
the
Lowe's
one
dying
two spray.
This is the, hand sanitizer spray.
Jack, can you live like this, Jack?
Well, he does. He's with Devlin.
I did a show for a year with him. You know, where he would come in and spray the studio.
Yeah, and what did you say? Give me a little spritz.
No, he's completely out of his mind.
All right, shenanigans stop. The boss is here.
He would. He's the same way,
Brian,
right?
Brian's like us. He's in there with that.
Okay, I'm looking at chicken wings on a keyboard right now.
Dude, you do what you have to do.
Knowing you and you being the germ freak that you
are,
does not look like you. You must have turned the corner this summer.
No. I got my sanitizer right here.
You better get a wipe. You know, I know you got wipes somewhere in your case.
I do.
It's interesting. The last few minutes of this show, they've been talking about the fact that they are germaphobes.
Wait a minute. Do we out the general manager, too, that every so often he comes back and asks for a little hand sanitizer, too?
Well, in this business, you never know what you're shaking.
Exactly.
So. Thank you. That's what we said. You know, we said you go into a hotel, five-star hotel, but it might have been a two-star client.
Let's talk a little basketball.
Amen to that.
All right.
Brian, one of the things, and we said this to Sherman, to Matt, when they were chatting with us, one of the things we've heard today, and we've talked to almost every guy on the team, chemistry and leadership continue to come up as themes for the existing players here, looking back to last year and now looking ahead to this year. We need a greater emphasis on chemistry. We want to be that tighter unit. That's why guys like Amir and DeMar and Sonny and Jarrett coming together in the offseason. Jarrett to saying, the one thing I worked on in my offseason wasn't necessarily the jump shot. It was 24/7 leadership, recognizing certain voids. Be interested in your take, your impression on that, knowing that a lot of guys, that was the theme of what they were really focusing on today.
Clearly it was something that was devoid of the team last year. We really didn't have a cohesive group. And when you talk about a true leader in the room, I made the point earlier, we had a leading scorer, but I'm not sure we had a true leader. And again, we constantly talked about Chris, and this is not a knock on Chris.
Right.
Okay, this is just a reality. He was a quiet guy, and Jay got, you know, I think blasted for saying something like this the other day. Again, this is not a blast of Chris. This is just a reality. He wasn't the guy that at the end of the season people rallied around and said, let's go, or that he pulled everybody together. If anything, it just seemed like there was some distance between him and the rest of the group. And there might have been two factions in the locker room and you know, all these different things that factor into a team playing together. But clearly, there's going to be an emergence of someone in that locker room this year that's a leader. And, you know, the coaches are obviously going to be stressing the importance of, you know, coming together as a group and playing more together and acting more together. It's a pretty powerful word, together. You know the whole concept of teamwork is so fragile in this business. And we've got new faces in the locker room. We're going to have to incorporate them. Hopefully we brought some people in that are going to buy into what we're talking about. The one thing, though, with this team, though, we're not a star-centric team at all. There's not one player in that room that we've got to defer to. There's not one player in that room that's going to have any sort of advantage. And whether we want to admit it or not, when there's a star in the room, they've got certain advantages. It's always like that in pro sports. And if you're with us and you're doing what you're asked to do, you're probably going to be playing, you're probably going to be pretty happy, and you're going to be contributing. If you're not, you're probably going to be pretty unhappy and out the door at some point. It's that simple. And there's going to be, nice rules in place. They're not going to be overwhelming rules. Follow the rules. There's going to be off-court rules. There's going to be basketball rules. There's going to be things that we're just, expecting everybody to participate in, and everybody should be happy and work things out accordingly if they are willing to abide by all of that. But, the emergence of a leader is going to be one of the storylines this year that we're looking for. Who is that person going to be? I know, or I could guess, that Andrea is going to be the leading scorer, but it doesn't mean he's going to be the leader of the team. I could guess that DeMar is going to elevate his game, but is he ready to take on a leadership role? Is it going to be someone else that steps up? You mentioned Jarrett. Jarrett's been very vocal about what he's been doing this year and how he was rallying the troops, so to speak, with some of the young guys this summer. We'll see how all that plays out and how much of it's talk and how much of it's action, because that's another thing. You can talk all you want about certain things, but you got to act it out all the time, 24 hours a day.
Brian, when you look at this team based upon a talent level, the tempo played is probably better suited with this group quicker than slower. But in order to get that, you got to really get after people defensively. How do you see this team evolving this year from a defensive standpoint?
Jay talks about it all the time. It's one of the first things that comes up with the athleticism that we have and the youth and the energy that we have. Jack, there's no excuse that we can't get after people better. And in terms of the guys that are out there and stopping people, stopping the penetration to the bucket, stepping over and taking charges, coming over from the weak side and getting blocks, all those little things that should make us a better group defensively, a better team defensively, are going to be the things that earn playing time. And I kidded with one particular player that, I anticipated he was only going to average about 10 points a year this year. He's like, how's that? I'm going to score a lot more than that. I said, well, you can't score when you're sitting on the bench. Well, why will I be sitting on the bench? Well, if you're not defending, you're probably not going to be out there. And so the message was, do the things we ask you to do and do the things that make the basketball team better, and you're going to be playing. And that's, again, the message, not just to one player, it's to all players on this team. And we've got to make sure that we take advantage of those things. I mentioned the youth and athleticism and talent. We're going to have to create opportunities to get the ball. The possessions are going to be important. Rebounding is going to be important. It's a big area of weakness for us last year and in previous years. We need to get better at that. Got to secure the basketball in order to be able to score. But the things that we do as a group this year in terms of the style of play, I think you're going to see some unorthodox basketball in terms of lineups. We don't have one true five, so there's going to be some what I'll call smaller lineups out there. Cleese's ability to post up or step outside makes him a really versatile player, and he might arguably, as I said it earlier, might be our best post-up player. He's going to be playing 3-4. It really doesn't matter. There's going to be a couple different ways to utilize him. There's going to be guards that can play two positions. Leandro at the 1, Leandro at the 2. He's probably more of a 2 than he is a 1, but he can play there if you need him to. Sonny Weems, I'm still not sure what position he is. He's a 2 or a 3, but he's going to be able to play, some 3 for sure. Excuse me, some 2 for sure. Some people think that he's competing with Lennis for a starting slot at the 3. He may be competing with DeMar as much as he is with Lennis for playing time in terms of, and sometimes you'll see all 3 of them out there together at 2, 3, 4. But again, the versatility of the team, the youth of the team, the length and athleticism of the team is going to be something that we have to take advantage of. And you're going to see that taken advantage of on both ends, on offense and on defense. But the defensive side is very important and critical to us this year.
Brian, the emergence of the defensive side through the athleticism that you talked about, I mean, you know, at this point last year, nobody was talking about Sonny in that regard. And as the season wore on, he earned himself that playing time. Do you see that again happening with the emphasis on defense and the chemistry and, as you say, doing what we ask you to do? Do you see guys kind of, you know, coming out of the fray in that sense?
Absolutely, because the guys that are helping us win, which means doing the things we're asking them to do, are going to be out there on the floor. And a guy like Sonny, you know, it goes back to my conversation with Tim Gergerich, the, you know, very famous coach out in Denver. Terrific at player development, terrific at connecting with players. You know, he said to me when I was asking him his impression of Sonny, he said, look, the kid's going to tell you he can score 24 points a game, but his best trait he hasn't yet realized, and it's his ability to defend the basketball.
Yeah.
That's what this kid has the potential to be, a great defender. And so that is something that, you know, I think he showed some of last year. He's going to show it a lot more this year. That's going to be a point of emphasis with him, because with his speed, quickness, and agility, I mean, there's no reason he can't stop anybody, especially out on the perimeter, which is where we've had some issues. And, you know, I love his versatility. I think he can guard ones even, you know, quicker, smaller ones. And in some cases, we might need help in that regard.
Well, with his length too, right? I mean, he's tall enough, and he's difficult for a smaller point guard.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is this a finished product for you right now, or do you not know the answer to that question until you see what you have?
I'd say it's unfinished, and it's unfinished because a lot needs to play out. And it's part of, you know, the second part of your question. I don't know what we have quite yet. I do know that we have a new team, a less star-centric team without one guy that's going to be the focal point. We've got a basketball team now that has a lot less financial restraints going forward, meaning we've got a lot of flexibility. We've got our draft picks in order for the next several years, including, you know, now an additional pick coming from Miami. I'm not sure how positive that will be, but it's still a second first-round pick in next year's draft. We've got a trade exception to still possibly use throughout the course of this year. There's about another 9 months of lifespan on that. That's going to be something interesting that needs to play out, but I can guarantee you that at some point this year some sort of trade will be made. I just don't know how big, what degree of impact it will have, but we're a team with flexibility, with assets, with good young talent, and we're getting all kinds of calls about all those things. And you know, maybe not today. There's no deal today, but there may be a deal in the future. There may absolutely be a deal at trade deadline, and there may be a deal following the season that allows us to continue to get better. But you know, we're poised for certainly a different outlook than we were last year at this time, because we had a lot more heavier contracts. We had a lot more expectation on the roster. We had a lot different picture. This is a new outlook. It's in a new starting point and a new beginning for the franchise, but it's not ground zero. And you know, we're starting with somewhere ahead in the race. I'm just not sure how far ahead. We need to figure that out by playing some scrimmages, by getting into some preseason games, and then starting the regular season, and then we'll know a little bit more about what exactly we have and what adjustments need to be made.
Jim Lombard gave us the...
Oh, he gave us the Heisman? Wrap it up? Is it time to go?
He's looking at his watch. He's looking at his watch.
I think
we're the last ones on the air?
I think he wanted to save himself 2 minutes at the end here for a little scene setter from the media relations department. So, Brian, we appreciate the time, and best of luck this season. We'll be seeing you throughout camp in the preseason. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brian.
There's Brian Colangelo, the president and general manager of the
Toronto
Raptors.
Anytime the PR guy gives you them.
Well, I didn't see it was behind me. It was just more like flicking my ear or something. I didn't know it was the wrap-up sign, you know? I thought it was just, you know.
Thanks, Brian.
A little endearment there or something. So we're getting set to wrap things up here. We got a couple of minutes left here. We're taking it right till 3 o'clock, and Matt Devlin heading out of here. Appreciate the time, Matt.
Matty Deep.
Thanks,
and,
Matt.
Thanks to everybody with the Toronto Raptors today, including Jim Lombard, who's out of earshot now. But I do thank Jim and his staff with Ro Vignau and Phil as well, Phil Summers.
Phil Summers, for helping Rajani out.
Rajani Kamath that was here today as well, helping us out. And Mark Sheldon doing a ton of work today.
Mark Sheldon.
Holding it down for us today with the Fan 590.
Greg Lowe,
you know, doing his best eating throughout the day. We appreciate him and all the work that he did here, getting us set up and making sure that we finally hit the web after some brief hiccups off the top. We're glad to be here for
well,
the last
Jonesy and I were here raring to go.
Two and a half hours.
Ready to go. Now heating in the bullpen, Jack Armstrong.
We were having a good day. But, you know, you're right. I think we've had a major number of the significant principles in terms of the 2010-2011 Toronto Raptors. And I think you asked a very good question, Eric, in terms of is this a complete product or not. And I would imagine that we're going to see a very active Brian Colangelo. And I think between now and the trade deadline, based upon what we see on the floor, it'll be just as active off the floor in terms of positioning this team and, more importantly, positioning this franchise for the years to come in terms of acquiring assets or making moves that set you up in a positive fashion. Because the thing you always have to remember as well, this is the last year of this current CBA.
Yes.
So it's not only moves that are designed to help your team in this particular year, but moves that make sense with the new CBA in mind. And you don't know what that is, but you would have to imagine that it will be one that will be less favorable to the players and maybe a little more favorable to the clubs. So in the back of your mind, you make those moves accordingly.
Jack, the Irishman in you, right? You save your pennies, right? And you look at a team like Indiana, before they traded Troy Murphy, they had Murphy, Dunleavy, and TJ Ford all coming off the books in preparation for the first year after the new agreement.
And that's a franchise that has some, even though they have a beautiful arena and a nice fan base, they've had some challenges.
Issues, yes, sir.
Not only off the court with some of the issues that took place a few years back, but from a credibility standpoint and financially solvent. So, you know, they have to watch their P's and Q's. So I think there's a lot of franchises like that that, you know, you look and say, are we in the top five or six in the league? If we're not, then you have to do your business properly to set the tone for the years in a new CBA, which maybe you could make an incredible jump from one year to the next because your cap is built in a proper sense.
All right, folks, it's 3 o'clock on the nose.
How
we appreciate
that?
All of you and your time. And the Raptor mascot is here. The Raptor, the best in the business.
Just,
he's taking Jonesy's chicken wings away.
I
was actually going to ask him for, and I've been teasing for a number of years now, a world exclusive interview, because we all know based on the Nike commercial from more than a decade ago,
yes,
that,
the
that
Raptor
he has
does
spoken.
Speak.
He
yes.
has spoken at least once in his lifetime. And I hope that the second time is on the Fan 590 and we will bring it to you exclusively.
He just well, clapped for you.
At least he claps. I don't know if that's Morse code. I think he just swore at me. I'm not sure.
But what's that finger, the Raptor?
There is the Raptor.
Number
and,
one.
Thanks to all of you for listening. And if you missed any of the interviews earlier on this webcast, no doubt they'll be available on fan590.com. And I'll make sure that they get up on the blog on fan590.com as well. So thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to everybody involved. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And Jones and I will be back very soon with the play-by-play action here on the Fan 590. And, of course, I'll be back again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Back on the
Eric Smith Show
at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Appreciate the time, folks. Thanks for tuning in. It's been Raptors Media Day at the ACC.